This episode is being recorded out of Shop Talk Podcast Studio in Oak Park, Michigan. For more information, visit shoptalkpodcaststudio.com.
Pink suits with hats to match. Big cracker dolls and Cadillacs. You looking for the fattest sacks. This is where it's at. Windows tinted, seats fully reclined. Keep your hands on the burner, cause niggas know that it's money.
Yo, what up, though? It's your man, Jay Johnson, a.k.a. the tinfoil hat titan, a.k.a. the conspiracy realist, a.k.a. the technology snob, Steve Jobs Jr., don't text him with your green bubbles, a.k.a. I only debate my equals, everybody else I teach, also known as Juice, because all the hoes say J-U Ice, Young Caesar, because you know you can't roam without me, Mr. If you don't like me, fight me, I got kicked out of Noah's Ark because they couldn't find another animal just like me. A.K.A. the West Side T'Challa, the new leader of Wakanda. Don't debate me, debate your mama. I am the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be. What up?
What up, though? And it's your man, Dame, 3_313, the West Side Landlord, the Pride of PA, High Chief Dame Don't Fuck Around, the Liquor Store Legend, the Corner Store Conquistador, your mama's favorite Dame. And the David Ruffin of the Shop Talk Podcast, because you know who the fuck they came to see. Not you, Otis. It's no better than these four letters. Thank God for Dame. And if you're speaking on Dame, you better say it nice. And if you don't put the boss in front, then bitch, you're not saying it right. Let's go.
Yo, welcome back. Shop Talk Podcast, episode 269.
Yeah.
269?
Is that...
I don't know.
I thought you had something for 260.
That's later on tonight. You know what I'm saying?
The 69 anyway. Portion. Okay. Jay-Z eating ass tonight.
Jesus Christ. He went straight for the extreme.
Yeah, man.
Anywho,
what's wrong with it? You 40.
I mean, I don't like butthole. I mean, what you want me to say?
That's what I'm gonna say.
That's why you're single, because you're not eating no crack.
Okay, are you single?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What's your issue? Okay, what's your issue?
I got a little Joe Jackson mixed in me. That's all.
Oh. I thought you were about to say something. Anywho, man, welcome back.
That's the way to start off the episode.
I know, dog. It's blaming.
And I got my daughter in the other room.
Please.
I got my baby.
Do I need to close this door?
Nah, she. She ain't.
She's known him her whole life. Yeah. So I mean,
she know what she walking into.
This episode is going to be blamed on Siempre Tequila,
the official tequila Shop Talk Podcast.
You feel me? If you see the blue and the black, I'm probably got some of this shit in the fridge.
Yeah,
that's the new motto.
And we bring it. So I just want to dive into it real quick. We about to do another live event, bro.
Oh yeah, we got a couple live events coming up.
But we about to do a live event at a hookah spot. Out in Livonia, and I did confirm with the owner, we can definitely do BYOB.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, so we gonna sip some tequila, blow some hookah, have a good time.
Can I smoke CBD?
Yeah, if
you put it in the hookah?
You can, because I got a hookah at the crib, and I used to.
Because we got another soon to be sponsor.
Does it get you high though?
No, that's why I said CBD.
I'm just saying, but
THC, just CBD.
I think we need to have Erica back in because, like,
CBD.
That's just a waste of a raw cone if it just don't get you high.
Or you just trying to take in the CBD and fix everything that y'all niggas claim y'all smoking weed for.
But we can do. But I talked to the owners of the hookah bars. My homeboy B, shout out to my co-defendant. B is his wife's spot. She said it can be a locked door event. We can do whatever. Strippers, we can hookah, BYOB, we can do whatever. So we about to have a real nice time, and it's a real limited type of engagement.
So
real limited tickets.
So I'll be perfectly honest. I want to make this a weekly thing. I want to make this a annual, semi-annual. I want to make this
We got some ideas for it, but like this first one it's gonna be nice, and we're gonna line it up real soon.
And you know the cameras is gonna be out. I'll bring out my professional team.
Okay.
Erica's
telling me don't sleep on the CBD, so maybe I need to.
Yeah. See.
Maybe I need to get on it. Shout out to everybody on our live. Like we just turned it on and everybody tuned in.
Yeah, man. We're not gonna be on here long because y'all gonna have to listen to the episode tomorrow and watch this video on YouTube.
Yeah.
Anyway, man, how was your week, my brother?
Week was good, man. Week was good. Nothing crazy happened this week. Just God is good, man.
Like, what'd you do on the 4th?
Shout out to my homegirl Regina, her and her family, because she's on the live too, invited me out to indulge on the 4th. Me and her have been real good friends since like 11th grade. And, you know, she took me in.
Mm.
Her family did the thing. They all cooked really good food. I was out there with one of my babies. Had a real nice time, man. And just came back to the crib.
That's what's up.
And enjoyed being off of work.
Yeah.
Fuck work.
Yeah, man.
Fuck work.
On the 4th, actually, I came up here, man. The twins had a episode to record. So,
shout out to my brothers, the twins.
The studio was closed, but, you know, they.
It's the twins. That's our brothers. It's something different.
I was supposed to go hang out with the family, you know, the barbecue, the
whole nine. Why didn't you have some at your house? You got a brand new home and you ain't had no fucking functions.
How long have you been living at your house?
over a decade.
How many functions you done had?
But that's different.
Oh, okay.
I'm not.
So listen, I was supposed to go hang out with the family. You know what I'm saying? My cousin, she hosted it.
But why can't people come to Wayne Manor? I want the public needs to see the wall of 72-inch TVs that you have. The smoking room that you got in the back, the humidor.
None of this shit is true. You know,
square feet of property.
No, you know, none of this is true. But listen, man, yes, it is still Jay Johnson 313 on YouTube. But listen, so my cousin, she was gonna host something before I got a chance to, because I am gonna have something for my family to come to. And hang.
You emphasize families. I mean, I'm not getting an invite.
I mean, we
family now.
Yeah, so relax, nigga. You done been to my house a couple times. Like, come on, relax, nigga.
Can I share a secret? You know, the last time I was at your house, that chicken started doing something to me, and you know, everybody else was like kind of indulging the fight.
You ain't taking shit in my house.
I definitely took a shit in your house.
This why you can't. This why you can't invite niggas over.
So you have the VIP poo in your bathroom though, because that's a must.
The VIP poo.
The VIP poo.
Explain. So introduce yourself and then explain what the VIP poop is.
All right, what's up, y'all? I'm Detroit Red. That's the Detroit _Red on Instagram. But yeah, the poopery, you spray it in the toilet before you poop, and then you don't smell anything.
I do not have the
and it's called VI poo or VIP poo.
So while we're speaking on that, I did get invited to Danny Brown's house a couple weeks ago. Shout out to my homeboy.
We just gonna skip over the fact that you took a shit in my crib.
I also took one at Danny Brown's house. I like my
when you say Danny Brown, are you talking about
Danny the rapper Brown? Danny?
Okay,
yeah,
all right.
My homeboy Will invited me out. I did get invited out to Danny Brown's house for 4th of July, too. I just didn't, you know, I have my daughter, so I just didn't think the Bruiser house is not an environment for children. But yeah, man, like I had Taco Hell that night, and
those tacos will get you every time.
I'm gonna make sure it's only a family event. You know what I'm saying? What kind of nigga is this?
You my boy, so I felt comfortable. Your bathroom was nice and clean,
right,
and well lit. You got candles everywhere, like the feng shui in your house is. Yeah, man, and nobody noticed like I was gone.
I saw you go to the bathroom.
Well, that's what I was doing.
This is unacceptable. Like, this is unacceptable.
Do you have a bathroom upstairs?
There's a bathroom on the other side of the television. You could have went to the guest bathroom. You went to...
I went to the... So, you had the other side blocked off.
No, I'm talking about where the main area is where the fight was on. There's a... In that door right there.
Oh, no, that's way too personal. That's
the guest bathroom. It's not personal. It's literally the guest bathroom.
Somebody might have been knocking at the door, though.
Yeah, I went to the one that made me feel more comfortable. And that was the private restroom.
Yeah, that's unacceptable.
I love you too, bro.
Anywho,
Weezy, you was there.
Weezy, you saw this shit going on. Anyway, I'm not talking to the live wire podcast listeners are listening because they're like, who are they talking to?
Yeah, what's up?
But so on the 4th, besides that, I was supposed to go hang out with the family, but I just stayed on the couch, man. This was the first time I didn't necessarily have to do anything. And every time I was like, I'm going to get up and go over there, I watched all, I don't know, 7-8 episodes of Mayor of Easttown on HBO. I literally didn't do nothing the whole day.
Mayor of Easttown, I've never seen that one.
It's fucking amazing.
Okay.
Everybody deserves a day like that.
Yeah.
Man. Every nigga deserves a day like that.
this week though, facts. Man. Listen, me and Umar, you know what I'm saying? Today's been a pretty tough day for me and Umar, you know what I'm
you
saying?
And the dog.
Yeah, man. He took me there, you know what I'm saying?
Did he tear something up?
He felt like eating my couch, you know what I'm saying? Luckily, it was the couch in the den, but like he,
can't
you know,
get that good Italian leather couch.
It'd have been a vacancy at Wayne Manor, okay?
Hey, man, it happens. They dogs, man. They babies.
You know what I'm saying? So I already got it in my mind that anything the dog do wrong, it's your fault. You know what I'm saying? Because you could have prevented it. But he knew he was wrong. Because when I came in, so I also got a camera. You know what I'm saying?
You caught him on camera?
For sure. But I caught myself on camera scolding him. Okay? And I taped it. and I downloaded. But like, he knew he was wrong. Because as soon as I came in, I'm like, what the entire fuck is this? He took his ass right in the motherfucking cage and sat the fuck down. Like, you didn't say nothing.
You don't have no chew toys for him?
Yes.
They can't.
But he used the fucking couch as a chew toy.
Yeah. My dog definitely did that before.
Like, you know, he wanted to, he probably was just tired of being in there. Like,
separation
he changes.
Anxiety.
You know, he changes from week to week. You know what I'm saying?
Some dog, I was reading. Cause
that's why your dog ate the fucking blinds.
Yeah.
The separation anxiety is real.
But you got a pit bull too. And that's like, that's a thing with them.
They
have
very
really
needy.
Bad separation anxiety. Mm-hmm. And then they sleep all day. And I didn't know that. Like, I thought something was wrong with my dog.
Yeah.
And I took him to the vet. I'm like, look, he's low key sleeping like 12 to 14 hours
a
day.
12 hours a day.
And she was like,
legit.
He's not getting enough sleep. She's like, they normally sleep like 18 hours a day.
And yeah, then when they're up, they're like high energy. They're like all over the place. Yeah.
Yeah, man. So we got to figure something else out. You know what I'm saying? Like, because I let him
you don't crate him while you're gone.
No, he's in a crate right now. Mm-hmm. he usually, I give him room on the, you know, on the den.
Yeah.
And, you know, got, you know, toys and stuff for him. But like, they keep changing over time, so like I can't have him out. Oh, yeah. So as a puppy,
I can't
give him
out when I'm not at the house because ain't no telling what I'm gonna walk back into.
Well, like as a puppy, you can't give him the roam of the entire house too early. That's too much.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. So you got to rope stuff off. So
yeah.
Just figure something a little bit different out.
Okay.
Anywho, man.
Welcome to parenthood.
Yeah.
I'm not a parent, so this is a thing though, right? Cause I do definitely be careful. Cause like when you get a new daughter, oh you I'm not right. Mm. Not because there's like something wrong with it, but that's a whole different vibe.
No, I was just
whole...
taking a look at the time. Cause like I appreciate everybody for tapping into the live, but this where it ends.
Oh yeah,
see y'all on the episode.
But it is a whole different thing from taking care of a dog into taking care of a child.
And tell me about it.
And it's also important that you don't treat your dog like it's a human because it's not a human. You know what I'm saying? And that's what sometimes when training or the dog, it can go wrong when you try to treat that dog like a human. It's an animal.
Yeah.
And you have to treat it like an animal, not like mean or rough or disrespect, but like you got to treat it like an animal. And that dog needs you to be the pack leader. And you trying to treat him like a, hey, come here, like relax. Like it's a whole animal. You know what I'm saying? So
And different dogs have completely different dispositions. I've never had like a German Shepherd. This is like my third pit bull. But like them motherfuckers look at you in the eye. And if they sense like fear or like you not in power, they're going to try and fucking run you.
Yeah.
I forgot what the, so when the dog first started getting old, he was doing this thing that the doctor was telling me was called bumping, where essentially like the dog walks by you and like bumps his head into you, sort of like kind of pushing you over.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what the fuck is wrong with the nigga? I thought he was just always being playful. The doctor was like, no, that's him asserting dominance. Like if he think he can push you over, he think you the boss. I was like, oh, I had to cut that shit out immediately.
Yeah, I don't let him think he the boss. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, listen, I love the dog to death. I'm never going to be. You don't ever want to reach for your dog and he, know what I'm saying? But like, you not, I'm the man here. You just live here.
he was trying me.
Not at all. Sometimes I grab a nigga face like, look at me. You think you better than me, nigga? You think you the top dog in this motherfucker? No, not even. But you know, we good, man.
That's what's up, man.
So listen, man, it's been a week. It's been a week, man.
Every one of them, the show writes itself. It's always a week.
Yeah, man. We gotta touch base on some other things.
Okay.
Sure.
We was talking for the cameras. I mean, before we got on the pod about Bill Cosby and shit. You know, we touched on it last week, but
Kyle's home and he is not laying low.
He is not.
He firing shots at you.
He's like, I'm about to go on tour. I'm about to write a book.
So last week it was just me and Dame talking, two men talking, of course.
Yeah.
But like, what was your thought process on everything?
Oh God, you know, in this day and age, it's so hard to speak about a situation that's this sensitive, mm-hmm. because it's very triggering for people, especially women. And so I think, like, for me, I've kind of just kept everything to myself because it's like, I'm not trying to get into arguments with people where I know, you know, where the sensitivity lies. But I mean, like Judge Joe Brown said it best. I mean, due process was thrown out the window. He should have never went to prison. There was no evidence. There's just hearsay. You can't put somebody in prison over hearsay and no evidence. And that's what they did. So with that being said, you know, I'm glad to see him out.
Okay. And Joe Brown was wild in this.
He was like, bimbos. I'm like, head. He said head. I'm like, what do you know about some head?
He's
like 80.
So y'all have. So Judge Joe Brown has been on a lot of different people platforms this mm-hmm. week. He said more worse than that.
Really? Now I gotta Google this.
He said they was groupies. They wanted it.
Oh, I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about, like, you should have heard him on he was on Kwame Brown mm-hmm. joint. He was on Lord Jamar shit. He was on a bunch of different people things. You
That's
know
when you
saying?
Get old, you just lose that filter.
I feel like you've earned the right to turn your filter down.
Yeah.
Judge Joe Brown has done a lot of things outside of television, mm-hmm. like historically. He's righted a bunch of different wrongs and be like, yo, now he do be wild. Once you get I can't wait. I'm already wild, right? I already say weird.
You want that senior citizen wild?
No, I wonder what it's going to be like.
Though. Right.
I don't need nobody approval to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I wonder what it's going to be like when I really stop giving a fuck.
When you know that you're closer to death than life and you just say whatever.
I ain't worried. Not even closer to death. It ain't even that. It's just that, like,
but
once
I think that's a different level of I don't give a fuck neither. Like,
I don't know. If I
could drop kick the bucket any day now. So
I feel like I would be more
whatever.
Reserved if I know I'm about to die.
Yeah, because you're about to meet your maker.
You know, I'd be trying to do everything right, not offend people. Like, shit, I'm about to go see God in a couple of days. You know what I'm saying? But, like, when you get to an age where you've just seen so much stuff, like, yo, your niggas can't touch me. It don't matter. You
I
mean
think
nothing
the filter
to me.
Just comes off naturally because even in myself, the older I get, the less I care. And it's not even nothing that I'm working towards specifically. It's just how I am.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know what? Fuck it.
I think when you've lived so much life and you've seen so much, like, certain shit just don't affect you no more. Like, words don't, you know, don't give you that same power.
You say Bill is completely blind?
He's legally blind. Oh. So legally blind, you can still see, but you can't drive.
I'm legally blind.
She's trying to get out.
POP.
She's trying
down.
To get out. That
right. Mama, I love you.
Yeah.
I wonder if she's still in prison. I wonder what she's doing. Like, what is after the meme? I should do a show and find these people, like, after the meme.
That would be a great show.
Or, you know what,
like,
I wonder?
What happened, like, to him?
Like, what goes through your head, like, once you become the meme? Like, can you? Is that still like a level of celebrity?
There is a YouTube thing where they go find, like, meme people. Mm-hmm. Like, one of my favorite memes is that white dude. He be like it's one of them GIFs, not even a meme. Mm-hmm. And they found, like, that original video and, like, talk to him and shit like that. I mean, me. Shit.
I was a semi-meme before.
You were a meme.
Was I?
You remember what, you know, you were an emoji.
Oh,
you weren't a meme.
Listen, I was definitely an emoji.
What kind of emoji?
So
his face.
It was my whole face.
But, like, surprised, crying.
It was just me smiling.
Okay.
And I was right underneath Beyonce.
Yeah.
When that app came out, this was like before iPhone had all the different GIFs and everything. Mm-hmm. You had to download an app. And it was all the memes and everything. And I reached out to the creators of the app early and started using it. And you can upload your own, and they liked it and they started using it. And then niggas started tagging me like, "Is this you?" I'm like,
I remember that, man.
Yeah, that is. I forgot all about that shit. Yes.
You were like, emoji for like a few years.
Yeah, but because I was right under Beyonce's face.
Right.
Where I did belong.
That's a good place to be.
I belong right under Beyonce.
Yeah. Are you a Beyonce fan?
I am part of the Beehive.
Oh, shit. Dame, do you have any, do you have a thing that you do? Do you have any of those ready?
What's the thing? Am I about to be like attacked here?
I feel like I have Beyonce jokes in my phone. Or some of them that we just need to revisit, you know, because Beyonce makes music for women that burn minute rice.
I definitely burn minute rice, so I can't even argue with that.
Don't you? Beyonce makes music for women who buy their own drinks in the club.
Oh, no.
You don't.
Kathy. I mean, I would, but somebody's going to buy my drink.
So we got, I'm glad we went here.
That's why I went there.
I'm also known to go to a club and buy drinks for everybody. So, you know.
Well, so are you a shot shooter at the club? You see a handsome gentleman, are you sending a drink down to the other end of the bar?
No, if I send a man a drink, it's so that he will probably just like know that I'm not interested.
You send a drink to
I don't think that's how it works. It don't work like that with me. I'll tell you that for sure.
Yeah, it's for me, it's like, because sometimes a man will come to me and he's like talking me to death, and I'll just be like, "Hey, can you get him a drink of so and so?" So I've like established dominance, and
so buying him a drink is establishing dominance.
For me, I feel like you should have done that first. Like, you're in my face, you're bothering me. Like, you're keeping other people away.
Can I ask a question?
But then I'll do it.
Kathy.
Let me ask a question.
Yeah, we're going to go here because I didn't think you were one of them.
I understand that. I understand that completely.
Yeah.
No, I get it. It makes perfect sense. Why did we make the drink the thing?
I don't know.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if I want your attention, buy me this $12 drink, and now I can talk. Like, what? It's so random.
The conversation is like free. The only thing you got to pay is attention.
Now, like, it's not like a bad thing, but it's like, yeah, let me send this person a drink, let them know I'm interested. But like, what made that the thing?
Well, I don't think you have to send me a drink to let me know you're interested. But if you come and you're talking to me and, like, you're, like, kind of bombarding my space, just say, would you like another? Okay, I will.
Bombarding your space.
Yes.
but the bar is not your space.
Yes, it is. When I'm sitting here and you've come and you've sat here and you're just talking to me.
But this is the nature of the bar. I'm trying to holler. I'm trying to get on. Like, I'm not buying.
But why do we give a drink so much power? That shit, like, it would ruin the whole, like, he didn't do this or he didn't buy my this. Like,
well,
it's so insignificant
she might want to try and diss you if, like, you. Like, you don't buy, like, I didn't hurry up and volunteer to drink.
No, I wouldn't try to diss him, but I'm just kind of like, to me, it's just like, you already fucked up. Like, but here's your drink. Leave me alone.
I already fucked up because I didn't buy you a drink.
Because you're bothering me. And that's the least that you could have done. But you didn't even do it.
Listen, man. So I got a thing, right? And it's not even I'm pretty sure it's not a good thing.
Mm.
But I don't want to be a bother to nobody, especially no woman who I'm trying. Like, if I feel that I'm bothering you, I'm just going to stop talking to you.
Yeah.
Because, like,
a lot of people don't do that. But am I friendly? I don't know if that's the right word for me. I don't know if I'm friendly, but I'm not.
Are you approachable?
I'm super polite.
Okay.
So, you know, I'm not going to be rude or dismissive to someone who's, like, striking up a conversation with me.
Okay. So explain to me how you buying the drink is you asserting
it's
dominance
and dismissing.
It's
my own mental thing because I'm, like, taking the lead.
No, I get it, though.
And I feel like if you're letting me taking the lead, then you should feel as a man that you've already lost a little bit. Like, damn.
Or you could.
I should have did that.
Or.
I feel like that's what should occur in your mind.
But if you send me a drink, right?
Mm-hmm. I don't send men drinks. Unless if I went to a bar and you guys were at the bar, I'd be like, hey, send him some drinks. Because I know y'all.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't do that to a stranger.
I know. But so after you exert dominance and send somebody a drink, you could be setting yourself up. I'm like, well, since you didn't send me a drink, I have to one up you. So please have dinner with me. Right. So because I can't be indebted to you. So you may be giving somebody alley-oop.
But that might be good.
Yeah.
I might be down. Like,
matter of fact,
hey,
send me a drink at the bar.
I fuck with that.
That's my
We going to dinner now. I don't mind setting the tone to a small degree. So I'm okay with that.
Okay. I can take that.
Yeah.
I can take that.
Now, the reason I said I'm glad you did, you got any more Beyonce hate?
I have a list full of Beyonce jokes.
Let a couple more go, then I'll come back to this. I'll come back because I got something.
Beyonce makes music for girls who call Nissans a foreign.
Nissan's not foreign.
Come on now, Kev.
Beyonce really, it's not.
No.
Okay.
No. Beyonce makes music for women who cry on social media.
I don't do that.
Okay.
I don't cry. So.
Okay, Beyonce makes music for women who are under 30 and wear wigs.
Come on. She don't cry.
She
I don't cry. I'm not a crier.
When was the last time you cried?
I don't know.
Give me.
Well, let me say, I'll cry, but I don't cry in front of people.
Okay.
I'll hold it in. Like, I'll get home and be like.
Beyonce makes music for women with 3 good outfits, but they swear they can dress.
I have 2. I don't know if I'm pregnant now.
So your list is on point for like, it's about, right, about 70% of your list.
Yeah, like, okay, keep going.
You know, I dated a young woman that was, heavy into Beyonce.
Mm-hmm. I thought you were about to say that's just heavy.
Right, me too.
I don't throw fat jokes at women. I mean,
that's nice.
I do a lot of stuff, but
you're sexist.
I don't body shame.
So you're sexist.
No,
you throw a fat joke at a man, but not a woman, because you don't think they're equal. Is that what you're trying to say?
That's different.
You don't respect the woman that's the same as you respect the man? Is that what you're saying, Dave?
But calling a nigga like a fat ass nigga don't really like. So the fuck what? But like, you call
until you the fat ass nigga. Nigga, that shit is hate this motherfucker.
But you also when you call a woman, yo, fat ass, like that's a different level of
I think
of
if you hate. Call anybody fat, that it hurts them inside. So whether I that's male so or female, I'm pretty sure that hurts.
Beyonce makes music for women that wish her happy birthday every year, like she's gonna respond back.
You got this to a T. So listen, you mentioned
September 4th.
You mentioned relax. It's too much. So you mentioned earlier today, right before we came on.
Yeah.
And since we talk about, you know, bar
the
etiquette
club and
shit,
the bar, mm-hmm, that you don't wait in line.
I don't know.
I got a problem with these type of people.
Why?
Because it's not realistic.
Why not?
Oh, man, I feel a rant coming on, but I'm gonna let you go first, Jay. I'm gonna go there.
In the past, I've encountered people, because I don't want to put everybody under I've encountered people who was like, yo, I'm never waiting in line.
Mm-hmm.
If I gotta wait in line, I'm not going. They give themselves a false sense of purpose as if they specifically like are better than everyone else,
mm-hmm,
and like everybody else, you exactly the same. Like everybody else got in this bitch for free too. Like it's
Else got in there for free, but they don't know the DJ who's your friend that walks you in.
And like,
I don't think I'm better. I just think I have this connection
know per se, because that's not attached to like you specifically.
I got you.
I get it.
All right.
Don't nobody love like
no.
I can't wait to go down here and wait in this line, but like. Yo, it is.
Some of y'all.
If it's like a little line, then
some of y'all are too.
But
ugly.
If it's like a long,
some of y'all are too ugly to try and get into the club.
He won't call you fat, but he'll call you ugly.
Oh, right.
What kind of shit is that?
He's got his boundaries.
Like, yes.
Some of you and your homegirls, I said this a few weeks ago,
mm-hmm,
you all are shaped like sweet potatoes. You used to be bad bitches. You are former bad bitches, and you deserve. Deserve to wait in line.
So
if the line is free before 11, you shouldn't get in until 12:45.
So listen.
God damn.
I do 2 podcasts, right?
Mm-hmm.
This Week in Culture as well as Shop Talk Podcast.
Okay.
On this podcast, Dame is the villain. Okay.
I see.
I'm the villain on a different one, right?
Okay.
So last week, or was that the week before Dame?
It's like 2 weeks ago, man.
2 weeks ago, Dame went on a rant. It was my fault. And I'm glad he did it.
You provoked him.
You got me juiced up.
He poked the bear.
Yeah.
I hear a lot of women that say, I ain't waiting in line. Like, have you looked in the mirror? Like, you deserve to wait in line. First of all, you deserve to be up front with the bouncer.
Because
that's what you really look like.
Damn.
You got wide shoulders. You're built like a potato wedge. You should be patting niggas down. You don't deserve to get into the club.
But sometimes things like that aren't based on a person's appearance. They're based on who they know.
Absolutely.
And so if a person networks, if they're connected, then they feel like, hey.
I'll say this.
Sometimes, you know? But hold on. I've been to a few clubs, and like clubbing in Michigan in Detroit is a lot different than clubbing in other major cities. Yeah. Chicago, New York, Atlanta, places like that, where you will get to the front. They will look you up and down and be like, y'all three. No, y'all ain't getting in tonight. Baggy pants, you and your homies, y'all not getting in tonight.
Yeah.
So I think clubbing in certain areas, if it was more specific like this, a lot of you ladies wouldn't have the deflated attitude, wouldn't have the bombastic attitudes that you have, because they would send your ass home. The only line you deserve to get in front of is the buffet line.
Dang.
I'm not going there.
This is harsh.
I'm going there.
So this I got some friends who are, you know, party promoters and do all this stuff. And I hear how they talk about the people who always want them to walk them into the club.
Yeah.
And that made me think about them people differently.
Usually,
now that's generally your people, this is different. Yeah. But everybody think they dated your people.
Sometimes. I'm on a list.
For me, it'll stem like John's this. List. A person will invite me and they say, I'm going to put you on my list. Text me when you get there. That's how it goes. You know what I mean?
For sure.
So I like that.
Gives you a one-up over
I like feeling special.
Yeah, it gives you a one-up over the common folk, right?
A little bit.
I get it.
And I don't have to wait because I'm usually going to have heels on.
Like every other woman in line.
Yeah, well, you know.
I don't want to sound like a
Neanderthal.
But I don't get that. Like you, I don't give a fuck about you wearing heels. Like that's what you're supposed to do. It's like when you go to McDonald's and you hear one of the kids complaining about their job.
Just use the connections that you have.
Like I hate dumping fries. I hate wearing heels. I don't want it. I've never heard that because I'm never
that close to the McDonald's worker.
Wearing heels and looking cute is your job. I don't care about what type of pain it causes you. Like put them 6-inch heels on and put them stilettos on and just figure it out. You bought them.
And just suffer.
You bought them.
In line.
Yes.
With your fat ass.
You said that part, not me.
That's fat. You come to the front of the line. I mean, let's be real. Right. Because you're going to go in, like, the more. So, like, if you cold, then I need you to come inside the club, posting pictures online. We're going to get more men in here because you're here, and now they're going to spend more money. They're going to be buying you drinks. Like, the women inside of the club, like, we inviting you into the club because you're going to ultimately make me more money.
Yeah.
I need you here for men to spend money on you.
But if you shape like Hacksaw Jim Duggan in a dress, I need you to stand outside all night long.
They don't get no privilege.
No.
Damn.
And they buying drinks. It's a 3-drink minimum, ladies.
So listen, last week we had talked about Sha'Carri Richardson.
Sha'Carri, she's that girl.
And like, earlier today you sent me something.
Yeah.
And I thought it was pretty interesting.
Very.
And, I want to play it, you know?
All right, let's play that shit.
I want to play it. I want to hear what y'all think about
that tequila talking to you.
Let me be real with y'all. From the stance of publicity, from the stance of fame, from the stance of platform, this has been the best thing to happen to Sha'Carri.
Oh, let me hear you.
We said this yesterday about other sports. I don't think this is track and field exclusive. Sometimes folklore is greater than reality. Man, if Sha'Carri were to go to the Olympics, she was going to bring back the gold. Or maybe not. Because there was a woman, Elaine Thompson, who just ran in Jamaica, who ran a 10:71 just yesterday, faster than anything Sha'Carri's ever run. And Elaine Thompson's not the best Jamaican, because there's a woman in Jamaica, Shelly Ann Fraser-Price, who ran 10:63 just 2 weeks ago, better than Sha'Carri's ever run. There's another, like, there's several people who could have actually inhibited Sha'Carri from the growth that she's had right now. Yeah. Now, it's been a convoluted, because it's like, man, you weren't able to go out there and compete at the highest level.
Yeah.
But from a stance and fame standpoint in America, remember, you can earn a lot of dollars just by having a huge platform. Mm. Logan Paul, etc. Sha'Carri had 300,000 followers 2 weeks ago before Olympic trials. How do I know? Because I was at Olympic trials. How do I know? Because I keep up with track and and field as much, if not more, than anybody on TV. Sha'Carri has 2 million right now.
Two?
With people like Michelle Obama, Gabrielle Union, Nelly tweeting about her. Sha'Carri had 70,000 Twitter followers just 2 weeks ago. She has over 470,000 now.
She passed me, cuz.
Yes, damn. Big dog. and if we're being real, she hasn't yet accomplished anything. She hasn't won USA's because her performances are invalid. So what has she accomplished? She has the collegiate record. She has a collegiate record at 1075. But from a pro level, she hasn't accomplished anything, but has all eyes on her. So if I'm actually being real, looking at her as her agent, looking at her as Nike, who is her endorser, this is huge. Yeah. You are the most notable person in track and field. More notable than Allyson Felix, who is the most decorated track athlete of all time. Ooh. You are the most notable person in track and field, and you haven't even won anything yet. Allyson Felix has been to 5 Olympic Games. 5 of them.
Don't tell me.
From age 18, Sal, you would know better than I because you grew up in this street.
I saw her.
From age 18 to now, I think Allyson is age 34. Allyson had a kid by C-section in like 2019 and just made the Olympic team again today. And we ain't talking about Allyson Felix in all 12 or so of her medals, including several golds. We're talking about Sha'Carri. So if we're being real, Sha'Carri is not losing right now. She may not have the opportunity to win on the Olympic stage, but when it comes down to brand and brand building, which can be just as lucrative, she's not losing, nor does she have to go face these Jamaicans that are about that action too.
All right, so let me put in context. Let me put in
context. Wait. Apologize to me first.
Really? So you about to tell me, so the fastest, the person that you're about to talk about, Shelly Ann, who is literally quite, other than FloJo, she has the third fastest time ever. Some shit that's never been done before. Matter of fact, she's the most decorated sprinter of all time. I can't tell you that Sha'Carri is going to be her.
I never said she.
No,
be
you
her,
said
I
you.
I said she could easily.
That's run not easy.
Running. That's in the not next easy. 2 to 3 Olympics.
No, that's I not easy. Say, that is not easy.
She's 21 years old. Like,
my nigga, it doesn't happen. You can't make that up because you want it to happen. That's not easy. That's not something that happens.
At 21, she's still, you know, in good physical condition. She can easily run in another 2 to 3 Olympics.
No, the fuck, she can't easily do it. That is not an easy feat for anybody, male or female.
Okay, maybe let's just stop using that adjective.
Yes, that's the whole purpose.
She could possibly run into another 2 to 3 Olympics.
Nigga, Usain Bolt only did it in 3.
Only 3? Nigga, that's like that's a span of 10 years.
12.
You're right. Olympics every 4.
Yeah, and he was the first to do it. The first to gold in all 3. That is not something that happens normally. I cannot just say.
You see athletes in multiple Olympics. You see it in basketball, swimming.
We talking about track and field.
Okay. I think that she could run in another 2.
You don't even know who she was a month ago. How you know what she about to do?
First of all, I've seen her run at LSU. I knew who the fuck she was.
She ran 1 year at LSU. Like, I mean, well, last year she ran at LSU. Like, no one knew who she was.
I've seen.
I know
her.
I didn't.
I've seen her run before.
I think that's cap day. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. It's cap day. You don't even watch TV. Like, what did you see her running?
I do watch sports. Now, was I familiar with her name? No. Did I understand? Like, now,
what did she run?
She runs the 100.
No, what did she, her time? Like, because everybody talking about, y'all know she's about to win. Nigga, now, that's not the, like, she ran like a.
The only reason I knew who she was is because of her look. At LSU, she had really bright hair, yes, the long nails. And, like, that's her thing. That's how they're marketing her, like a.
Well, I mean, that's just her.
That's just her look. So that's how I knew who she was, just because her look was more unique than the other young ladies that she was running against. Mm-hmm. Now, to say, like, I'm just a track and field aficionado, I am not. But
listen. You cannot say anybody that we just going to assume and I'm going to make it to the Olympics the next 3 and 4 years. That's not easy. I can't give somebody that
I'm not
going
to assume, but like
fucking work.
But if she keeps herself in top physical condition, continues to work hard and is on top of her game.
Everybody who runs works hard, is in good shape. That don't mean you're going to win. I get what you're saying, because it's like, yes,
I just think
it's about that competition.
I think she has the potential to be in multiple Olympics. Yeah. That's what I will say.
What I was trying to say before that is I want to put the reason that I played that in context, right? Because as soon as this story broke, it was, you know, black folks who ain't never heard of this girl before a week ago went into, yo, this is racist, this is this, oh my God.
Enabling.
What was me? What was me? What was me? Now it's like, yo, she's in a great position.
Yeah.
Like, we don't, nobody wanted this to happen.
Right.
But unfortunately or unfortunately, this is probably the best thing that could possibly happen.
She's infamous.
Like,
that's big shit.
Everybody
today.
Knows this woman's name.
Yeah. If you talked about track and field to me, I automatically think FloJo with the nails and, you know, the hair, and she was pretty. Gail but Diva. Now yeah. I think Shakari. Now I think her. So she's become kind of a cultural icon.
What I don't like is when somebody fucks up, admittedly, breaks the rules. Dog, we can't act like, oh, fuck it, we just got to change the rules.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just got to follow the rules.
Right.
Like, we be making shit up on the fly when it applies to people that we know and we like.
The people that we like. That's what it is.
Because, like, this not.
But it's very telling of the deeper-seated problems within our community. Accountability.
Yes.
It's not there. You know what I mean? And that this is it on full display for the world to see. But, like, you know, this girl smoked weed. She admitted she did it. She admitted she was wrong. But we're like, no, change the rule. It wasn't crack. Let her run track.
But how often do we see this, like, at a young age? We see somebody, you know, I can think of instances in, like, high school where, like, somebody is the star athlete. Mm-hmm. And teachers, administrators will turn a blind eye to their actions or inactions of doing something
to allow them
to continue
too.
To play. Or AAU. Like, you see it at such a younger age with athletes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they just get a golden pass just to do whatever.
But I think the Olympics is different. That's not high school. You know what I'm saying? This is the world stage.
And that's why the Olympics, you know, last week, I'll be honest, I was on the calls like, shit, it's just weed. Like, you know, it's not that big of a deal.
Right.
But, like, first of all, after another week of sitting with it and learning some of the insight in the rules, like, it's not like a rule that's tucked away on page 64 of the manual.
Right.
It's like up front, like, you can't smoke weed.
Right.
So, I mean, she admittedly
Let
her take accountability.
And it does give you an advantage depending on what you do. Like, you can smoke weed. So let's just say I don't run the 100 and I run the mile, because I ran the mile and I used to run the mile. That's four different.
Did you run cross country?
I ran cross country 1 year because I was in trouble. So my coach made me run cross country.
Okay.
Awesome. But, like, So in a mile, that's four laps. You got to be focused, right? Mm-hmm. Because you can lose focus. And guess what? Maybe if you hit the joint before you run, that'll keep your ass focused.
But,
or it may reduce the anxiety. Whatever. It's like, it's not always, it don't mean nothing. Regardless.
It's been known to help with inflammation in the body, in the joints.
Facts.
So if you're a runner, you know, your joints going to be inflamed. But if you smoking weed, you ain't got
that's
as much
the whole
inflammation.
That's reason I wanted the CBD oils, because I had an injury on my left, my left calf, and I wanted the inflammation to go down.
I have a question. Do you guys think if this was a young black man and this happened?
Nobody gave a fuck.
Would people be going, no, let her run. If it's not crack, let her run. Would any of that happen?
No.
Nah. I think it would be treated completely different.
This is going to sound worse than I mean it.
Yeah.
This has everybody up in arms because it's a black woman.
Yeah.
And, like, so they all.
But, we're going to be like, we're not protected.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it was a young black male, I don't think he would be villainized. It'd be more like, oh, he made a stupid decision, and that would be, you know, the in and out.
Yeah.
It had been one day.
He would have been made to take accountability. She's not being made to take accountability. People are making posts like, you know, they're making her a victim.
Yeah.
Now, the difference that happens this week. So last week, I assumed that, like, well, you know, that 30 days is going to take her out to 100.
Mm-hmm.
But she wasn't selected for the 4x1 by the, you know, Team USA.
Mm-hmm.
And people took offense to that. I started thinking about it, but, like, look, fam, you can't break the rules.
Mm-hmm.
And then I put you over somebody who didn't break the rules.
Right.
Working 4 years, whoever. No, like, it ain't. Like, I know we want to personalize it. Like, yo, this is bad for her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who the person that's replacing her? Is she black?
No, it was.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
she's not black, though. Mm-hmm. The runner that replaced her.
I don't know. Yeah. I can't think of her name. But, yeah, I know she's not. But, like, I don't know, man. It's just a lot. It's a lot.
I'm honestly over it. I mean, she did what she did. She's not going to run this Olympics. People can
It's making it worse for her, too.
Yeah, people can have their think pieces. They can say whatever they want to say. Like, she, like, just at the end of the day, the rules is black and white. She broke the rules. She's not going to run. She'll do something else. She'll run in the,
I mean,
what is it?
Outside of the Olympics, like, currently, there's a Diamond League going on right now, because I watch track and field. Watch today. There is always year round. There's track and field going on, and the wintertime is indoor. Other side, they in Monaco right now. Then they'll be in France, so they'll be all over the fucking world running track. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why people do it professionally. They get paid to run. Like when you know how much they get. You know how long they get drug tested all year. You're being drug tested before and after every meet, like.
So when you put it like that, it makes it seem even more like done on purpose. Cause like,
well, not like, you know what I'm saying? She went through like, somebody who didn't know you, told you that your mom passed, whether you had an estranged relationship with her, but it's still your mom, right?
Still your mother.
So like, I get it. That's a lot. How do I tell you how to cope with that? Mm-hmm. I can't, you know what I'm saying? I can't tell you how to cope with that. You did what you needed to do at that moment. And more power to you. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, that bled over into something else. Mm-hmm. It is what it is. Like, I seen TMZ Sports ran up on her at the
airport.
In the airport. She's like, how'd you find me? Because now
your name is on your gym shoes. That's what he said.
Right. But like, now you like, and she didn't seem okay with that. She answered the questions professionally and everything like that. But like, yo, this is a lot for her.
A lot.
And we keep kicking it up, and like, we keep making it like, fam, let her. This is probably the worst thing that can happen. It's the worst and the best thing.
She ended that interview like real, real nice and professional and curt. Like,
she probably went over there and cried afterwards. Aww. Like, leave that girl alone. Let's get her out the media. AKA, I'm talking about her on a podcast.
That was the first thing she asked. Like, how did you know it was? He was like, I saw your name on your shoes.
Everybody been looking at your face for the last 2 weeks. We know you now.
Yeah,
definitely.
And TMZ finds everybody.
Yeah,
I don't know how they do it, but like, if you got something going on, TMZ gonna find you.
TMZ have somebody outside right now running up on us over something.
Did you see where they were flying over LA Dodger Stadium and saw Drake on a date?
Yes. Yeah. I'm like
TMZ
what?
TMZ gonna get to the bottom of
all I just heard was people saying he's dating baby mamas now. Who was this person he was with? I don't know.
I never heard of the person, but he definitely rented out the stadium. They definitely hovered over and took pictures, and I'm definitely like, wow.
I just feel like if she's in Hollywood.
Somebody had to leak that, because why are you doing that?
I guess the guy, because I saw a tweet from the dude today. Mm-hmm. He said he was just flying his drone.
Oh.
And he posted it.
Wow.
He said he's like, he said somebody was on a date, such and such. And then when he posted it, people said, yo, that's Drake. Like, so he wasn't like, well, allegedly, he wasn't trying to, I mean, this could be a whole PR thing for Drake. His new single about to drop next week. Yeah. Who knows? But he posted, it was like, yo, I was flying over.
This might be the video. They might have been taping the video knowing Drake. But
with the Beyonce and Solange thing, they say that was staged. That when Beyonce and Jay were doing their concert, that their ticket sales went up like 300% after the elevator incident. So,
you know, that was in front of
a lot of shit gets staged.
That was in front of
the world is a stage.
The building,
it's all WWE.
The address of the building that they were at was like 444.
It's all wrestling. All this shit is all wrestling.
And Jay said that. I didn't make that. Like, Jay said that.
You know, when I look at like viral videos and like, you know, woman runs up with her boyfriend at the park and he with his side. Like, I feel all of this shit is just staged.
Oh, yeah. That shit's staged. Yeah. But how is it going to feel?
I feel like all of this shit is staged, man. Like, I don't even.
I get it. But what happens when something happens in your actual life, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. You leave out of here, you argue with your daughter or some shit, right? And Dave is promoting for the next podcast. He's like, that got to be wild to be like everything about your life, nigga, like, nigga, that's fake. I can't
imagine that type of lifestyle and pressure that come along with it, because you know, I've talked about it on the pod. Like, once I had an interaction with Anita Baker one time. Swear to God,
I heard she's so mean.
Anita Baker collared me up, and I think I've talked about it here in the podcast. I was at Borders and I was buying a book, And I noticed this older lady, and I was like, she looks really familiar. And I probably looked a little stalkerish, like following her. And I walked up on her, I was like, hey, yo. Just like that, like, hey, yo,
yeah.
You're Anita Baker. Anita Baker grabbed me by my collar, and she told me to quiet down.
Wow.
Shout out to Anita Baker. Shut your ass up, man. What's so funny?
She bought her book. She had, like, after she let me go, she was very nice and warm. And she said, look, honey, I'm just trying to get in and out. I don't need no extra attention, and I need you to quiet down.
Wow.
Man, this podcast shit is a gift and a curse, man.
I've had people walk up on me and I'm not famous by any stretch of the imagination. Mm-hmm. I'm just a regular nigga at Target. And I think I told you or even talked about it here. Like, I got this big ass rose tattooed on the side of my neck. So, like, it's pretty easy to identify me mm-hmm. if I'm out and moving about. And I had somebody like following me around Kroger, and I just had to stop because, you know, I could be with my kids. I could, yeah. You know, I carry too. So, like, it's not like, My senses are a little heightened. Mm-hmm. And she was just like, well, I just recognize you from the show. And I would just more prefer you just say, what up, instead of following me around Kroger. Because now, like, it's a different.
Did she want to take a picture or something? Or
I'm not famous. I don't even take a lot of pictures. Like, just say what's up to me.
Yeah.
That's the thing. That's the gift and the curse. Because where I see the show going and everything that I'm doing going, is leaning in that direction, but like, do I really want to go in that direction?
I think you do.
Because
I don't want to be famous. I want to be rich, mm-hmm. but I like when I look at fame almost like you. It's like a gift and a curse. It's cool to be somewhere and like people recognize you, and we can have a quick back and forth. But then I like see people that are extremely famous. They can't go to the mall. Can't go to Target. I can't take my babies to Disneyland and just have a good time. Like, I don't want to be like that where I got to take out security or be mobbed. Like I just want to go. If I want to go to Foot Locker, I just want to dip in and out.
But
and do what
if
I
you're
gotta
rich
do.
And famous, like you're typically going to move into an area where there are people who are wealthy. And
but they're children.
You don't get that as much.
So
like if you're in Los Angeles, people aren't so celebrity thirsty as they're going to be in like Detroit.
They got tours that come find you. You know, like, yo, this Jay Johnson house in LA. Like, they got a whole TMZ tour. Like.
They do have that.
I get that. But I look at people that have been famous for like years. Mm-hmm. Like, if you've been a celebrity 20, 30 years, all right, you know how to navigate it a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. I'm just a nigga from the West Side.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if this shit pop off and me and Jay end up rich
when it pops off.
When it does.
Yeah.
Me and Jay end up famous. Like, look, I like to go to the Coney at 3 a.m. Like, I'm not going to be able to move and do shit like
just
that.
Just go through the drive-thru.
I just do. Listen, we've been doing this pod for 5 years. You know what I'm saying? I've shared different things on the pod. You know certain things about me. However, I'm a very private person.
Mm-hmm.
I've mastered the art of sharing enough to make it seem like I'm sharing without sharing anything.
Yes.
I'm a very private person and I don't want that encroached. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I don't want nobody Googling me.
And they
like
definitely
that.
Encroach.
Wouldn't that be wild? Like, they Google you and now you got somebody knocking on your door.
Right.
Is this Wayne Manor? Or they run up on you or Umar while you out walking the dog at 5 a.m. There's people outside of your house.
Or they just catch you doing some normal human shit, like you and your girl having a little argument.
Now, you
and
know
they
how
catch
dangerous
it.
That is. You know what I'm saying? Because
it is.
I super carry. Okay. Like, don't come to my house. Okay. Like, it's not safe for you there. But like, you know what I'm saying? I got the same friends for the most part. You know, I meet new people and everything like that, but I keep a very small circle. You're mm-hmm. not going, you don't run into me out and about.
But what right. I wonder about is like even people in your circle, like, and not to, you know, say that my friends would intentionally change up, but like people in your circle are going to change, you know,
for
how
sure.
they enter. Unfortunately, somebody's going to start interacting with you differently, moving differently. Like the fame may not go to your head, but it may go to one of your home. Like, this my boy now. So I can, you know, mm-hmm. do A, B, and C. And, like, that type of shit affects me, too, because, like, I look at my friends are like my dogs. Mm-hmm. Like, if I call you my brother, we've been friends 15 years plus. You know, when I say Jay is my brother, I mean, me and this nigga go back to high school. So, I mean, you know, I would hate for somebody to.
What high school?
Cass Tech. The Cass Tech.
You know what's so wild, dog? Mm-hmm. I think about this shit all the time, mm-hmm. right? Like, younger version of me. And people I've been cool with for a long time, if nigga be like, hey, yo, 20 years from now, you and this nigga, like, me and Dame knew each other in high school.
Mm-hmm. But we weren't like friends.
But if a nigga came into me and I was in the 10th grade, like, yo, 20 years from now, you guys are going to be like, what?
Yeah.
Like, you know, what?
It's crazy because I think about that. Like, I knew my daughter's mother mm-hmm. when she was like back in ninth grade. I remember us having classes together,
yeah.
seeing her in the cafeteria, but like she was never like on my radar. Mm-hmm. Not that she wasn't attractive, but like she just was never on my radar. And then like 20 years later, we end up working together and then shit, having a baby.
So, that's the beauty of life. Like, you never really know what's going to happen.
I knew all three of my kids' mothers in high school. All three of them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's wild.
It is. I'd have never.
Yeah. That's wild.
Two to three of y'all.
That's a hell of a story.
Yeah.
that story goes in a lot of different directions.
Yeah.
Now, the Detroit Red.
Yeah.
You don't do a podcast per se. But you do some lives.
I do.
Can you explain what these lives consist of?
Well, I really do a lot of relationship talk.
Mm.
Because I feel like relationship is something that pulls all the people together because everybody's had a relationship. Yeah. And these days, relationships are pretty difficult to maintain for most people. So
These days.
Why do you think they were always difficult?
Yeah, that's nothing new under the sun.
I feel like because of social media, it's like more heightened that, you know, you're more sensitive to it because you just see more about it. It's less private.
Yeah. No, I do agree with that. Yeah. Because I think relationships have always been difficult.
The whole neighborhood knew about your mama when she was in ninth grade, too. No, like, I think, you know what I'm saying? Like, whatever relationship.
Jay, when your mama was in ninth grade.
Excuse me?
That sounds wild.
What did you say about my mama?
No.
That shit sounded wild.
Hold on.
Listen, I did not, okay. What I meant by that is, like, when your mom broke up with her boyfriend when she was in high school,
mm-hmm.
the whole neighborhood knew. Like, everybody knew still, whether they talked at the ice cream social or whatever. Like, it's not, like, I get it. Everybody think that their generation is
but
different.
Now, because it's out there, I think people feel more like they can talk about it outwardly. So back in the day, maybe everybody knew, but ain't nobody saying shit. But now they gonna say something.
I think they
because it's out there.
I think the network just moves differently. You mm-hmm. know, when you said that, remind me of that scene in Power where he was talking to Court. Like, you know why they called your mama Quarter Water?
Oh, yeah.
But I think now it just things are, like you say, it's more out in the open and shit moves in different circles.
Mm-hmm.
And then women didn't have uh-oh. Certain options
mm-hmm.
now that they have more options now than they had, say, like 40 years ago. Like, you couldn't get a bank account without your husband.
Yeah.
But we, in the year 2000, women who was dating in the year 2000, who's 20 years older than that, mm-hmm. us right now, nigga, they could get a bank account. Nigga, they like, their relationships wasn't great because it was the year 2000 and they was dating.
Like your grandmothers, mm-hmm. like their lives are a little bit different mm-hmm. than women these days.
I get that, but I don't know that the dating aspect of it is different though. You know what I'm saying? Like, relationships have been relationships since the beginning of time.
Dog, how did niggas cheat before cell phones?
Easy.
Like, if side bitch called a house,
I think
call and hang up.
You just pull up. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Me and my girls have been having a conversation for the last 2 days about relationships and about standards. And one of the things I was saying is, like, when you get to a place where people don't need each other, like, most women don't need a man. Not for real. Like, you can do everything that you need to do without
women
one.
Women that say that ain't never had a man, in my opinion.
Most people in general
men
don't need nobody.
Don't need a woman. Like, it goes both ways. I've met many men that be like, what does a woman bring to the table? What's the value in marriage? I can do this. I can do that. You know what I'm saying? It goes both ways. So I feel like when you have two people in that position, the expectations just become unrealistic. Like, you just want a motherfucker to be perfect. And when they're not perfect, you'd be like, nope, next. You know what I mean? So I think that's the dilemma that we face, is just being totally unrealistic.
You know, I saw
that's a personal problem, though, right?
But you know,
it is. But it's a lot of people that have that personal problem.
I saw one of these pastors online that was saying, like, you know, the reason that we have so many dating problems is because we've had too many dating options. You looking for her to have a body like Katrina, be able to cook like Shireen, you know, make money like Regina, and you toss all these.
You been with too many people, my nigga. You got too many points of reference.
Are you guys watching Sex Life on Netflix?
No, I heard.
This is what started this whole conversation. So, Sex Life is about a woman. She's married. She has the perfect husband. You know, he works.
What's the perfect husband?
He works. He takes care of her. He provides. He treats her like a queen.
And she's still cheating.
She's not cheating, but she's missing her old freaks. So, like, she used to date a guy before that was real adventurous. They was having all kind of freaky sex in public over the balcony, you know, just wilding out. Her husband doesn't have any passion in that area. He's just fucking as a duty. You know what I mean? And then it's just over. There's no passion. There's no wow shit about it. And so she starts to journal about her old experiences, right? Like, she goes into great detail about how she feels and how she feels like she's missing out on it. And then her husband finds the journal.
And then start doing all the freaky shit she was writing about.
Yes, but it still wasn't enough.
Because it ain't real. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I'm talking about being like, unrealistic.
The reason, like, no, you don't want it from him. You want it from the other people. You want to relive them old things.
Yeah.
I've seen that. That kind of played out on Ozark. I don't know if y'all watch Ozark.
Yeah, I love Ozark.
But he found his wife. He found like a sex tape of his wife cheating. Mm. And then like he had a sex with his wife. He hit it from the back and shit and was slapping her ass. She was like, wait. She was like, wait, you, what are you doing? Like, she was like offended. Like, no,
but
nigga.
She didn't know that he knew.
Like, I seen my best friend, by the way.
Yeah.
Fucking the shit out you, slapping your ass, and this was all good. Ooh. And when I do it, it was like, oh my God, you've never done that to me before. What are you doing? Like, she was offended.
But I hear my married friends do the same thing. Like, yeah, I like that freak shit, just not like, but I look at my wife differently than I look at like the hoe.
Gucci Mane said he doesn't let Keisha Kaur give him head. Oh, he says that's disrespectful.
That's a waste of a wife.
Nah, I don't know. That's the tone. This nigga's out of here.
Because you're going to suck my dick. Every single time.
I don't understand.
But there are some men that think like that. There are some men that they want to put their woman on a pedestal. They want to believe that she's never done anything disgusting or nasty. But,
so I used to feel that way with my ex-wife. That, like, you know, this is my baby. This is my, but like, I need, you know, we not together and this is no knock to her, and I would never do
it. Your daughter's next door.
Yes, my daughter is next door.
The door is open. I just want to make sure that you.
So I would never divulge anything like that. But like, my next wife, beyond being like my baby, my queen, she also need to be my full-time hoe as well. So
listen.
Some women aren't like that either, though.
This is the problem with relationship right now. It shows like Sex Life.
Mm-hmm.
It's all of these theoretical things that have real implications that that people see and they take them as real life. And they then they do. Start.
When a, this it, is it, how I feel.
Yeah, that's not how you feel. Situation. Like, somebody wrote that out. All the emotions that you saw were planned. Yeah. This is not real life. Mm-hmm. So you watch all this fake stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You form real opinions. And then if something similar happens, you've made it up in your mind what your decision is already. Or we'll have theoretical conversations online about what would you do if somebody did this? And now you don't even know. You turn it off. Potential people who would date you on a hypothetical situation.
Yeah.
Like, that you don't even know that you would do because you're not even in the situation yet.
And most people are going to answer most questions ideally.
Yeah.
Ideally, but it's not really the real. So people be on some fake shit with.
Honestly, I think also that, like, we don't talk enough and people are scared to really talk and communicate and say what they really want.
They are.
So, like, you might be, you know, your match is somewhere out there.
Yeah.
And sometimes we be too ashamed or embarrassed, or I don't want to tell this person I'm into this. But like, then you end up in a relationship where you are unfulfilled and you are unhappy, where you might be cheating.
Or they're still attached to somebody else. Like, you with this person, but you're still attached to the person that you were with. before.
But that's just the thing of being honest. Because
it should be overlapping.
But that's just the thing of being honest with yourself. Because I'm definitely guilty of that.
Me too.
You know, relations is overlapping.
Yeah.
And you know, I use the adage, like, you don't go out buying new shoes barefoot. Like, you still got shoes on your feet. Like,
that's a hell of a rationalization.
But, like, sometimes you're not, you don't know. You can, I've definitely been in a relationship that I thought was real, organic, and mm-hmm. ultimately, like, after it didn't work out, like, nigga, this was a rebound. Like,
yeah.
I cut someone off and went somewhere else.
Yeah.
And thought this, everything was real, and yeah. this. I'm like, man, nigga, you was kind of like, you was on some rebound shit, mm-hmm. and now somebody else then got fucking hurt.
Yep.
2-3 years later or
it's
some
the
shit.
The worst.
But, like, I do think, like, social media topics, mm-hmm. Talk show topics and things of that nature that we've been bombarded with mm-hmm. have taught people how to act in relationships based off of things that were created in someone's head. Like, like, how many of your friends have been married and their wife and their husband cheated on them? But you have all these scenarios. Like, nigga, do you even know anybody who married with 3 children who got cancer and their husband cheat? Like,
right.
What are you talking about?
Exactly.
Like, you don't
just,
even
it's
know.
It's just good fodder for the timeline.
It is.
Yeah, but it shapes the idea of relationships in this generation.
And it's subconscious programming.
Yes.
Because right. people don't think that they're taking it in, but you are taking in everything that you take, that you are encounter in a day.
Yeah,
and I put this generation in quotations because it's like, oh, yo, women are different in this generation. Men are different in this generation. Mm-hmm. What other generation you lived in? What the fuck are you talking about? Like, this is
That's
your only.
True.
This is the only people. Mm-hmm. So you want,
and we romanticize other generations. We try to make it seem like it was so great. They had their own set of problems.
Because your mama didn't tell you the fucked up shit your daddy did.
No,
and your daddy didn't tell you the fucked up shit your mama did. Because your mama is the perfect person. In the world.
Damn sure.
He ain't gonna tell you what your mama did.
No.
And that's not even like in a bad way. Like, yeah. Oh, your mama crushed me. She broke my heart. You know what I'm saying?
It's just the truth, because people just go through relationship shit. And some shit is just not, it's not information that you share with children or family. Like, sometimes you just need to deal with it internally mm-hmm. in order for it to get better.
I tell you what, man. Being single the last, I don't know, 3 years or so now.
It's been 3 years?
About that.
Okay.
Single.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm so single, you could spend a night for a week and post pictures and wouldn't nobody say shit.
Don't come over for a week. You can't come out.
I mean, I'm not saying that anybody can stay in my house for a week. But I'm like, just saying.
Ain't nobody coming to my house. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. But it's like, yo.
But why?
What you mean?
Is that by choice?
It's by choice. And by circumstance, I'm busy.
Gotcha.
I don't have time. And it's unfortunate that I don't have as much time as I would like. And sometimes I won't pursue somebody who I know I don't have enough time for. Mm-hmm. Yo, this person is really dope. Mm-hmm. They need this, and this. And if I know I can't provide that, even though I really want to, mm-hmm. like, yo, I can't provide that without something else suffering, I'm not even going to do that to that person. Because
that's kind of fucked up, though, because they may understand.
True that.
They may have their own life and be like, oh, this works.
This is a wild scene. And once I get out this scene, I'm never coming back. Please believe I'm never coming back into this motherfucker. Because everybody is so infatuated with the topics and whatever. And unfortunately, fortunately or unfortunately, because I do a podcast, we talk about topics. So
yeah,
I'm going to do the point and counterpoint or whatever. Like, but most of this shit is like, yo, this shit is just like, why don't y'all just, all this shit can be figured out if you just be a decent, nice person. If you just be a kind person, all this relationship shit that y'all going through, and what you do this person,
it's,
what
it's,
if
it's like, not always that simple.
No,
it's
it can't be that simple.
It
no,
could be that simple. Anytime, people make it complicated.
If you have an opportunity to be kind, be kind. You always have the opportunity to be kind. Like, it can be that simple. Now, if you don't want to be kind, that's different.
It's not. Like, I'm not.
Explain to me how it's different. How it's not.
Okay. Like, I'm not. I've been a very dirtbaggy person. I've talked about it here on the podcast.
I almost think that you were proud of it, though.
No, I'm not.
Dirtbaggy?
Yeah, dirtbag dame. It's a thing. Or it was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like I always went out of my way to be like, just a piece of shit. But sometimes, you know, I've lied. I've gotten caught up in things. I've, you know, the waters have gotten muddled. And I guess in a sense, I had to, I looked to save myself and I didn't necessarily think about other people's feelings and opinions. Now, did I go out of my way just to be mean and a piece of shit to them? No, but like,
just because you didn't go out your way to be mean don't mean that you was being kind. That don't mean you was being a good person.
It doesn't mean you weren't going out of your way not to be mean.
Yeah, like that. Like, if you be a normal, like, because, like, we can act like we don't know what we do.
Yeah.
And how it impacts somebody else. But all of us got some level. Well, I would hope most of us at this age has some semblance of emotional intelligence. Like, you know what this is going to do to somebody.
Right.
You just choose that. I'm going to choose me over you.
Mm-hmm.
And me comes first.
You're just going to rationalize whatever bullshit you do to make yourself feel better about it and just go on with your life.
I know I've been guilty of that shit.
Yeah, I've definitely been guilty.
And I'm like, well, you know, it's me time. Like, I can make myself know. But like, at the end of the day, like, nigga, you know this is wrong. You know what this person is expecting
yeah,
of you.
Right. Yeah. You're right.
Because you're right. Of how you positioned it.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you didn't position it. Like, you know, based off their body language, their reaction, what they're expecting of you. And you know in your brain, you don't got no intentions of giving that.
Mm-hmm.
However, you ain't make that shit clear.
No.
I didn't. Well, not you. I didn't make that shit clear.
Mm-hmm.
And like, if I was in this particular situation or that particular set, if I was like a person who was kind and thought about someone else's well-being over my own, yo, that shit wouldn't happen.
You know, but I think sometimes we go into it with the best intent. And then, you know, things get convoluted because maybe I'm not trying to hurt your feelings today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can think of some incredible women that I've dated, but I understood, like, at a certain point, they were just the bridge to the next situation.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm not trying to be, you know, we having a good time. It feels right. I know this is not turning into marriage, but, like, you know, do I want to break your heart, like, right now? Like, there's never a good time to break up with somebody.
That's a position that I've been in within the last 3 years, right?
Yeah.
Because, like, yo, a nigga got needs, right? Like, but I know.
You not the one. I know you not. Like, you a good person. You a beautiful woman. But, like, the connection isn't there for me like it is for you. And when I run into somebody that I feel I have a stronger connection with, I know this is going to end. But like, do I yank the plug on it?
In the between time.
Yeah. So let me ask you, Red.
Yeah.
And that's so bad. That's so bad.
It is, but it's human because we don't want to be alone.
This is something that I think, you can tell me if I'm right or wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I think men are more likely not to settle and will leave the person they've been with for 12 years because the person that they really wanted finally became available. And
sometimes I
think women will, I don't want to say settle, but like, yo, these are the things that I need. This person has these things. I know this is such and such dude from back in the day that I thought was so charming, but I got something here. I'm going to stick with this one. I think men are much more... I think some men can be much more, I'm going to put me first versus women who will put the well-being of themselves and their possible family first.
I want to touch on that.
With a woman, I think she'll still cheat, but she might necessarily leave her family. You know what I'm saying? A man will leave the whole fucking family.
Like, I've been with this girl since 12th grade.
Right. Like, that nigga gonna be out. If he ain't gotta pay no child support, them kids 18, he gone. Hmm. So with the woman, I think she'll still try it. But I think she's gonna be more attached to her security.
Facts. So follow up question.
Yeah.
Because the appearance is that all niggas cheat and niggas ain't shit. But, like, the women be cheating.
Women cheat. Like, you know what? I've never cheated on anybody. I always tell people, like, I'm going to start cheating now. Like, cheating is the way to go. Because if I'm with a man and we're in love and he cheats on me, I'm just going to cheat back. That's it.
You don't want to leave?
I'm not going to leave. I'm just going to cheat back. Because once a man starts cheating on you, he's going to continue to cheat on you. I've never known a man who just cheats once on the same woman.
No.
That shit is almost like a permission slip to cheat. You forgive a nigga for cheating, he going to cheat some more.
No. It's like,
I was talking to one of my female friends.
I'm sorry.
This week. And I asked her, like, do you think all men cheat?
I'm going to cheat back.
And she said, no. All men don't cheat because there are men that won't cheat on certain women. Mm. And I was like, I think that's it. There is women that a nigga will not cheat on. And there are women that you met. You're not the one that I think you're not the one that he won't cheat on.
And I don't think, first of all, because don't cheat back on me because it hurts.
Exactly.
It's different when you do it. Not your whore.
I don't have any experience in that.
I'm going to cheat back because I've never cheated. And I'm just like, you know what?
I don't think you're going to cheat back.
I think I am.
So that cheat back hurts so much. Like,
I don't know.
Look, I don't know if I physically can.
I don't think but
I'm going to try.
Look, I know.
So you planning the next person that you're going to be with? You planning them to cheat on you?
If they cheat on me, I'm cheating back.
I don't like this energy. Before your relationship even starts, I don't like this energy.
Dog, that cheat back is different.
That cheat back is different.
I was in love with somebody, and yeah, I fucked
and she cheated back.
Was she cheated back?
Did you leave her?
Not instantly.
So this is another common misconception that I feel like is women always say, if you cheat on a man, he going to leave you. And I'm like, that is not true. I know so many men who stay with a woman who cheated back or cheated on him.
So I look at it like this. I kind of looked at it like on a scale. Like,
so my thing going to be like, hey, we cheating now. We in an open relationship now.
Oh, hell no. I'm out. I'm so weary of, like, you about to bring me something?
I would never cheat like that.
Nobody plans on it.
I wouldn't do that.
I ran 39 years with a clean bill of health. Mm-hmm. If I wait till I'm 40,
right,
and a bitch bring me something.
Hey, but don't cheat. That's what I'm saying in my case. As long as you don't cheat,
gonorrhea, you take a shot, you take the weekend off. Wow. Straight.
I mean, that's how you live your life. You know, more power.
That's how I lived my life in the past. Yeah. I don't live like that anymore.
But you understand. Like, so at this, I'm 39 years old, mm-hmm. right? So at this particular point in my life, if a random bitch give me a disease or some sort, I'm a failure because I've made it this long.
Right.
Or if I get some random woman pregnant, like, nigga, I should have had a baby at 22.
At this age, that's like the worst.
Like, I can't do it at this point. Like, I'm careful because I can't do it. I can't have a baby mama. I don't wait this long. I'm waiting for the right, like, you know what I'm saying?
Because
I'm
not
trying to have a baby mama. But if I finally get a nigga, the streets is done. I might as well start shooting everybody club up.
You just have a random.
As well.
Just a random night, you run into somebody at Del Mar, and now you're wearing a Burberry shirt, and I'm taking pictures.
Like, I feel like a piece of
not
shit.
Not the Burberry shirt.
I don't have no idea. Like, I would be really fucked up over that shit.
It's tough. I'm sure it's tough.
I would be really fucked up over that shit.
I'm sure. But when I was talking about, like, the situation where, like, I found out she was cheating, like, I just weighed it on a scale. Like, this is what she knows. This is what I really did, and this is what I found out. Like, I still, on the scale, I still won because she don't know the depths of it. But, like,
yo, listen, like, I'm probably gonna be out, dog. Can't do it.
Yeah.
Like, bitch, you.
I wouldn't out because I really didn't have a leg. Like, I wouldn't out immediately. Like, now the relationship, like, I feel kind of what you say because, like, after she found out I cheated, it was like, well. She ain't leave neither, so.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like a fucking permission slip. Like, okay,
you try to
work it out. You say you're not going to do this and that. And then opportunity presents itself again. You think you can be slicker. You think you can do it better. But now she's watching your ass like a hawk. She going to find out. I mean, I just feel like once it starts, it's going to continue. The only way to kill it is to cheat back. So now we both cheating.
That is
so
horrible advice. No, that is not.
If you want us to be cheating like this, then you stop, and then I'll stop.
I mean, I think that even though that's wild,
but we both just gonna do this.
I think that point has some validity to it because, like, man, we not equipped for that type of shit.
No,
we not.
Yeah,
we not. Like, I can't, like, some other niggas thunder fucking my wife while I'm with
right
while yeah. I'm cheating with. I mean, my Tuesday thing.
That's not my thing.
Yeah.
I've seen it happen. So I can't say men aren't equipped for it because I've clearly seen this shit happen.
Oh, yeah. Now, I know niggas, like, some niggas is just
I might have been the nigga that she was cheating with. I've seen it happen.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to be able to sleep next to you at night like, this bitch been out fucking all night. And that's
yeah, imagine how I feel.
It's different.
Motherfucker.
It's different because it's practice. Kobe
oh,
don't,
my God.
Hold on, listen, hear me. Kobe don't score 81 points without throwing up 50 shots in practice.
Okay.
And I'm just practicing for the game, honey.
Okay.
I'm
going to get my practice on too, boo.
It's different.
We going to both practice.
It's different.
I'm going to get real good, nigga.
It's different.
You're going to love how good I get.
Nah.
Yeah, this is not what's up.
Now grabs a divorce.
Nah, because
you being slutty.
Somebody got to die, okay? One of us is leaving that earth. I volunteer, goddamn it, because fuck.
I remember I was out with my homeboy, and he seen his girl out, like, on a date with a nigga cheating. And, like, it took us literally four of us to, like, gather him and, like, walk out. Like, dog, you can't do this. You can't do this here. But, like, we just left from some bitches. I mean, but you can't do this here. Not now.
And
not
he
now.
Got an immediate dose of his own medicine.
Yeah. He was sick. Like,
ain't
he
God
was,
good.
He was literally, like, clutching his stomach in the car. Like, I got what I'm supposed to do.
God is good all the time.
What do you think about polygamy?
I think for me, this is where I stand. In terms of relationships, period. If you're not cheating me, if you're doing what I need, if you're satisfying my needs, I don't look for shit. I'd be chilling. I'll sit home, read a book, drink some wine, go to sleep, walk the dog. As long as my needs are met, I'm happy. If you're not meeting my needs, though, I'm going to start to get nosy. I'm not going to look through your shit, but I'm going to look through what's obvious, like the social media. I'm going to complain. You know what I'm saying? So if my dude...
Is social media really an obvious way to decipher what's going on?
Yeah, because you can see who's kind of like doing the most.
Yeah.
What's doing the most? You supposed to like...
I got a lot of people to do the most that I ain't never talked to.
Some people do the most. I don't know. But I don't know. It's just like an energy. It's just like... And you can look at them like, this is his type. She all on a nigga dick.
So you think that man ain't got no self-control?
I don't think most men have self-control.
Kathy.
I don't have a lot of faith in that. But this is what I'm saying. If he cheats or does a side thing, long as I don't know about it. But polygamy, okay, I could be in that situation, but I wouldn't want that to be my man. But I could be in someone else's polygamous situation. Do you get what I'm saying?
It's still your man, technically.
So you will be the
second
wife.
I would not think of him as my man. I would think of him as my lover.
So you would be the second wife, not the first wife.
Yes.
Interesting.
I get it.
Yeah.
I think polygamy
is ego, though.
Very much so.
Because, like, not that I'm for or against, but I think with men and women, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think it'd be ego.
Yeah,
because like how couldn't let a man do another woman do, like
but I think that's the wrong view of polygamy. Like I think we should take some of the sexual aspect out of it. Polygamy is to build the family,
right?
And you know, if you look at it from just that aspect, there should not be any jealousy. We should all be working together as a unit. Now just hear me out, Kathy.
If you hear people who actually participate in that lifestyle, who aren't literally just trying to have sex with people.
Mm-hmm.
They explain it differently. So like,
absolutely.
We don't bring in a new wife unless that wife does something
different to the fold.
Actually help the family.
No, I'm beyond that because I'm not having like no children or nothing like that. So
and that,
I
may
don't,
be, that may be yeah. a thing as well. So one of,
right.
I mean, my wife doesn't want to have, one of the homies practice polygamy with his wife.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she don't want to have any more children. I want to have another one. So if we find someone who's willing to bear a child, mm-hmm. boom, it works. But so
I'm speaking on like from that end. I have a friend of mine. His father's from Nigeria. My homeboy is one of 27 kids. His father has four wives.
Fruitful and multiply.
But how his father explained it to us coming up, he's like, you know, I have one wife. She's a good cook. She cooks for the entire brood. Mm-hmm. I have one wife that's a teacher. Mm-hmm. Like she helps to rear and teach all of the children. He said he got one wife that's like good at farming and cultivating. Mm-hmm. So she does that part. Now, yes, he's had children with all of these women, but mm-hmm. like they all work as a unit, as a village. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, his whole thing was, you know, he's a very wealthy man where he mm-hmm. is from. He's like, but I have the ability to take care of all of them and all of my children. So like I can have as many wives as I can afford.
Let's break this down because it's going to lead us into our last subject. Our last subject is Nick Cannon, right? I heard a bunch of shit this week. However, monogamy mm-hmm. is a fairly new concept and it's some Western world white people shit. The reason why monogamy became into existence is because the people with all the wealth and the resources had all the women and can, just how you said, I'm a wealthy man. I have this, I have that. And people say, no, nigga, that's not fair.
Share.
And they say, well, fine. One man, one wife, that's how it is. That was in the Western world. But a lot of other places.
You never heard of kings that only had one wife.
We grew up in the Western world. I grew up that way, too. So, like, I come from a situation that was my mother and my dad, mm-hmm. not my dad, my mom, and some girl down the street. You know what I'm saying? That's what I was raised in. Mm-hmm. So that's the way that I subscribe to. I want one wife. Mm-hmm. I mean, if she want two, you know what I'm saying? But like, generally speaking, like I want one wife, mm-hmm. but that's the culture that I was raised in.
Right.
Now, if I'm raised in a different culture and I don't see a man or a woman with two different spouses as something being taken away from me, it's only like that because we think we own another person. Mm. Like, no, once you're mine.
You never own them. Never own them.
Now, granted, I just want one wife for the most part. You know what I'm saying? But like 99% of me, just want, 98% of me.
Like 2.6.
Just wants, you know, one wife. But like, I can't. Like, look, there are other cultures right now, 2021, mm-hmm. who live that life and they don't see it as like, that's not my man. She's not sleeping with my man. That's our husband. And there's, it go the other way, where it may be multiple women or women with multiple husbands. I've seen this shit too. Mm-hmm. Not my cup of tea at all. But because niggas teabagging you.
You're thinking of it from the sexual aspect. Like,
sex is a part of the relationship. But
look, a lot of us aren't in polygamous relationships right now. You just didn't authorize it. But like you in one.
Like, niggas be like, I couldn't do it. But like, you mean to tell me
you doing it already?
Oh, put like this.
She got a work husband that hit it every now and again too.
No. Like, if Beyonce said, yo, Jay, me and Jay-Z are still going to be together, but you, I want to come over on Tuesdays and Thursdays and blah, blah, blah. Niggas is not going to turn down Beyonce.
I'm going to give it to Bruno Mars. I'm going to leave the door open, baby. Just come in.
Knowing that she is married, got another man who's still going to have sex with her, niggas is not turning down Beyonce.
Right.
Like, depending on how
I think niggas do it for less than Beyonce.
Yeah. Right. But most people be like, no, I can't see myself. And then you insert, okay, what about this woman? Mm-hmm. Oh, well, that's different.
Yeah.
Oh, so she ain't cold enough. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you just so infatuated celebrity, you just want to be with a celebrity.
But you know, that's a good point.
But I feel like men generally don't mind being side pieces.
Yeah, but yes, I don't think that because they think that, I think the niggas who don't mind being side piece think they got one up on another nigga. Mm. Not the other nigga got one up on them.
I mean, it's okay for them to think that, but it's still, they still just don't mind.
So if you
that's
don't mind
the,
being
just
the
their
side
brain
piece,
telling them that
fact. So if you don't mind being the side piece, you should mind if your woman is fucking another nigga, right? Because it's the same shit.
But it's, I think it's back to what she said is that ego thing.
You don't give a fuck about
woman.
This woman for
this
real.
This my woman.
It's just sex.
I mean, it's just sex the other way. The whole thing is you are having sex
with a woman. But you love your woman. So you don't want to imagine her doing these things because you put on a pedestal.
I get all that. But at the end of the day, you having a sex with a woman that another man is having sex with. So whether
so you don't mind that situation is what
like
you're saying.
In a grand scheme of things, if you're okay with being a side nigga.
But if you think you own somebody, all of a sudden it becomes an issue.
See, yeah.
Because it's your ego.
Yeah.
Because the actual action is the same.
That shit is the same.
It's two men having sex with one woman and y'all happy about it until it's your girl.
Right.
And now these two men can't have sex with the
now
same one woman.
Now it's unacceptable.
Yeah, it's all mental shit.
It is.
Absolutely.
Just, you know, one wife me. You know what I'm saying? I'll be straight.
I'd be honest, man. Like, I love black women, but I couldn't imagine, like, waking up to two of them. Like, I don't
it's the best thing that God created.
It is the best thing that God created, but, like, to have to deal with two sets of issues, egos, personalities, like, not in a cheating situation, because, like, I can deal with...
You deal with five different personalities.
Yeah, but, like, I don't have to. Like, you're not my wife. Like, you know,
your children. You got to.
Well, that's
they're five different personalities.
That's different. I don't have to deal with all of their mothers in an intimate
relationship. Is, if you say, hey, I don't want to have to deal with five different personalities, we deal with multiple personalities all day.
But her and her siblings are something different. I'm talking like a woman that I am building a life and a future with. Like, you know, if it's a cheating situation when it don't feel good no more, like, well, I break up with this. But like, if I got three wives,
it ain't cheat. Like, you can still cheat in a polygamous relationship. Nigga. Yep. It's just us three. You Absolutely. Can't go out. So, you know, according to what they say.
Yeah. But I don't want to be in a I just want my wife. Like, I just want my wife. My thing.
All right. So I had
mine. She's mine.
Facts. Me too.
ain't nobody fucking my wife.
Not at all. Somebody's going to die. It's not going to be
cheat.
Me. So I had a conversation with somebody online yesterday about Nick Cannon. And then we took it to the
How many kids he got now? Seven?
It's like six or seven.
I think it's seven.
My grandma had nine.
My grandma had 10.
So I tweeted.
Yeah.
Until Nick get more than nine, shut the fuck up. Like, I don't give a fuck. Because if you think that a person can't be involved in family or you
there's just a stigma that comes along with when you see a person with multiple children. And I'll be honest, you know, just speaking from a point of experience, I'm a father of five with three different women. And at a point in time, that shit was embarrassing to me, like, because I felt embarrassed by some of the choices that I made. I didn't feel like I was responsible. Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest, I hid a lot of it I didn't talk about it for a long time. Mm-hmm. You know, I had one of my sons while we was doing this podcast and I kept it real low because I was embarrassed. But when I talk about my friend whose father's from Nigeria, I remember I was out one time. I had all the kids with me. And he saw me. He got so excited. Mm-hmm. He was like, "This is your family." And I'm like, "Yeah." And like, you know, my kids look alike, but I know they have, you know, different mothers, different hues. And and I was kind of dejected when I saw him because, like, now I gotta sort of explain it. And how he looked at it, he's like, why aren't they at the forefront? Why? I was like, "What are you talking?" He's like, "This is your wealth." And when I had to start looking at it like that. Like, that's my bloodline. That's all that I have. My kids, when I changed my mindset about it, like, you know, instead of being embarrassed by my decisions, you know, I really had to accept and embrace this is what it is.
Yep.
Like, this is what it is. They are mine. And when I started looking at it like that, this is my wealth. You know, everything I've done bad in my life, they've corrected it. Mm-hmm. You know, they are my pride and joy. And I didn't. You know, I wasn't embarrassed by it anymore. I didn't feel weighed down about it. Now, there's other things about fatherhood that I wish were different. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard to be the father I would like to be at times when they're spread across different households.
Right.
You know, it would be a lot different if I was, you know, in the same house as their mothers and I could, you know, raise them all collectively in a more traditional sense. But I just got to make the best of what it is.
That's right.
So that was the conversation that I was having with a young lady. And she was saying something similar. I was like, well, my grandma had nine children until Nick get 10, like, I don't give a fuck. So she was like, we're all of them in the same house. I said, for the most part, you know, there's some age difference. Yeah. But for the most part, you're like, well, that's a totally different situation. He's creating broken homes. He's trash.
We don't know anything about those situations.
So I asked.
He's been quiet about it.
And it's not like he's poor.
And he said that he had all these kids on purpose. Yeah.
So I asked. So I said, why do you assume that he's creating broken homes? Mm-hmm. Because the term broken home don't mean just because y'all live in separate houses. Mm-hmm. It's literally, yo, I'm not fucking with this kid. Like, it's right. It's a different situation. So my question to her, because we ended up texting and voice noting, was like, look, why did you pick every single negative that you can possibly find and none of the positive, right? Because from my understanding, from when I heard Nick speak prior to and during and even after this situation, mm-hmm. He said, yo, if a woman have a child by me, she don't got to work again for the rest of her life. Mm-hmm. Like,
I'm not just a baby daddy.
Yeah, that's not that. Like, I don't have no issue with that. Don't say that I'm having these children on purpose. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes because we've seen so many bad examples on how this, mm-hmm. how it doesn't work, right? Mm-hmm. When
the futures and all of that shit.
Yeah. But like, if I personally have enough resources, I think all of them live in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. If I have enough resources and all of the children's parents are on the same accord, which it appears to be,
mm-hmm. you know,
ain't nobody talking no shit. There's no drama.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can have these children whenever I want.
Yeah.
Whenever they need to.
Right.
Just because they live in primarily because their parents, each mom has mm-hmm. their own address that I have purchased for them. That is theirs, their only. That doesn't mean on Tuesdays and Thursdays, children's 1 through 6, not all together at my house.
Right.
It doesn't mean that they may not be all together at such and such. It also doesn't mean that I don't have any personal one-on-one time because mm-hmm. I can take all y'all coming down to the set of Wild Out today. Y'all, every day from 4 to 6, all y'all could be with me.
Right.
I can send, you know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't have to be. Your presence can be felt.
Yeah.
His presence can be felt possibly even more than a traditional situation.
Because he got more resources also.
Yeah, because in a traditional situation, a lot of kids don't see their daddy at all.
You got 4 hours.
He work, get up, go to work, come back,
Let's say I get off work at 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
You've been home since 3 when you're out of school. You going to bed at 10. So you got from 6 to 10, you got these 4 hours.
That's if you're lucky. That's if you're lucky.
Yeah.
So like,
because if you off at 6, you still dealing with traffic. You might have to do homework, make dinner. Like, you might feasibly be getting 2.5 hours with them kids.
I may be able to have more personal one-on-one time with you. I may be able to provide better resources for living, for clothing, for food, for shelter, for education. I am having these children intentionally. Mm-hmm. And I will explain to her because she has 2 children and both of the fathers do not live inside of the home. Mm-hmm. So I'm saying, what are you saying about yourself?
Right.
Are you saying that your children are doomed for failure?
Right.
And she's like, I wouldn't take no money from these niggas and whatever. Right. What I'm saying is, if someone has a child with you intentionally and wants that child, mm-hmm. it's a different situation than 2 people who break up or on bad terms. I don't want anything to do with you.
Right.
It's a different energy. There's the intention, like, no, I want to be a part of this child's life. Mm-hmm. Even if 2 people go their separate ways, but when another parent wants to be a part, that's a different relationship.
I feel it's like almost like the movie She Hate Me. Like, when Nick approaches you, you understand that, like, look, we're going to have unprotected sex and I'm going to get you pregnant. Welcome to the team.
And you're never going to have to work again.
That's not a bad
now.
I'm not saying from JNAP been nutting in you for 6 years and all you got is 3 babies that he barely claims. I mean,
now I'm not trying to say that just because he has money, that means his family is great or mm-hmm. that I know for a fact that everything is going to work out fine and everyone's going to get each individual. I don't know that. But what I can't say that is just because this is the method he's going, that means it's going to fail.
But right. But you know, even
it's
better,
just not traditional.
No, but this is almost like a level of polygamy 100%. When you look at it.
It's definitely.
And polygamy. You know, somebody else that I kind of look at that does what has multiple children with multiple mothers, and you rarely hear like any wrinkle. Look at like my man Floyd Mayweather. You don't really hear like a lot of. There was one that he had like.
Did he
had two
even?
Children, I mean, two.
Did he have multiple kids with multiple women?
Yeah,
there's
and
no beef.
I'm rich. The problem happens is when y'all are poor.
That's the
common denominator.
The when you don't have the financial resources to take care of that many, and you don't have the resource of time. Mm-hmm. When I'm the boss. When I own corporations, when I can do whatever the fuck I want to do, I can exert my time wherever I wanted to.
Right.
You don't have that luxury. You may not be familiar with that. You've maybe never even seen somebody with that. So you're thinking like, no, this can't work because I know how I was raised and how my situation turned out. And I can respect that because that's what you're familiar with.
But even like when you talk about your grandmother, I'm sure your grandparents and, you know, this is no knock, were like not rich. Not rich financially, maybe, but they were rich in love. They were rich in.
My grandfather was 20 years older than my grandma. That nigga has some paper.
Okay.
And we didn't find out till after he passed. Like, so this, he wasn't, my grandma wasn't his first wife.
Okay.
He had other children too.
Okay.
Who came to the funeral. But like.
Oh, hey.
So he had more than nine children. You know what I'm saying? I think she was his third wife.
Okay. Hey, shout out to Granddad.
The only reason I know Granddad had money because one, we had a camper, which is, and we got black and white. We got I have the film camera from my grandfather.
Okay.
So like we got like so when my parents were my mom's family was growing up, like there is black and white. We call them the Smith Clan tapes of them on family vacations, just video, no sound.
Oh.
I'm like when you think back, I'm like. Oh, granddad, yo, niggas ain't have small video
right.
Record. Like,
no,
you know what
that's
I'm saying?
That's a luxury fucking item.
Yeah, and I have it now. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm trying to take all that and, you know, transfer it over digitally, whatever. But like, yo, granddad.
I mean, three.
It has a little paper.
So was he a widower from his previous wives?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Well, so I literally have no idea. So remember I was telling you. A couple years ago, we went down to my grandma's house and we was recording a lot of history. Like, I found so much information out then because my grandfather passed away when I was, how old are you in the third grade?
Eight, nine.
So when I was 7 years old, you know what I'm saying? So a lot of stuff happened and conversations happened. I was just so young.
Right.
I
you
didn't
just
know.
Privileged.
You know what's
yeah.
going
and
on.
Then
yeah.
by the time you get of age, it's like, well, who do you go? Let me call grandma and start asking about granddad old wives or something like.
It's funny that you mentioned that because I have a friend of mine, his grandmother, she's, you know, elderly in a nursing home right now. But like I remember when she was younger, let's say 20 years ago, she told us, I've never worked. She's like, I lived off of four men and she's like, I lost three husbands. This is like her fourth or fifth marriage. Mm. She's like, I lost three husbands. She said, I had three insurance policies. She's like, I ain't never worked. I just bankrolled them insurance policies, and then I had a husband that took care of me.
Listen, man.
I think she took some of them out.
When my grandma was young.
Black widow.
She met in living in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
She met a nigga from Detroit and moved to Detroit, got married.
And that was that's the story. That's it.
In real life, met an older man from Detroit. She was of age, you know, wasn't like, no, 14-year-old. Like, she was of age, like an adult, and moved to Detroit and started
a life.
It's one of the greatest men I ever met.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Other than my father. And, you know, that could be rivaled. Them niggas, you know, them the two greatest niggas I ever met in my entire life. You know what I'm saying? So, and it spawned.
And it's nothing shifty in it. Like, she fell in love with an older gentleman. He is probably established, had a little bit of something. Well, she saw a better life for herself. And she
nigga from up north that pulled up in a caddy.
Right.
Like,
he's probably working at the plant or something. She saw a better life for herself.
Right.
I mean, and she had a child already.
Bring that I'm going to take care of you and your baby.
Bring that baby with you.
That sounds like a lot of player shit that happened these days right now.
Bring that baby with you.
We a family. We a family.
You know,
and I'm going to give you a couple more just to see you have something
give
to
you
do.
Eight more.
I'm going to give you eight more. You know what I'm saying? So, like, wow. Listen, don't tell me that Nick can't do it if my granddad did it.
Yeah.
Nick is definitely doing it.
When I break down the time frame, other than when I'm like an adolescent, well, even then, if you break down the time frame, how much you see your parent on a day to day basis, it's not a lot of time, my nigga.
No.
This is a question I have as far as being a man. Like, what is the thought process behind wanting a whole bunch of kids?
So
should I answer?
I'm glad you bring that up, because when you were speaking about when you ran into your Nigerian homie's father, it reminded me of the video clip from what's my man who did Black Panther from Oakland?
Chadwick?
No, Ryan Coogler.
Oh, okay.
When he was talking about when he went over to the continent, mm-hmm. and was scoping things out. And he was like, man, I forget what they called it, but it was like a feast. You know what I'm saying? He was like, man, yo, this is just like the cookouts that we have back in Oakland. Mm-hmm. He said when he went in the front, all the children were out front. Mm-hmm. When he go in, the women were inside cooking and doing everything. Mm-hmm. And all the men was out back, you know, playing cards and doing their other shit. You know, and he was like, man, this literally... just like it is in Oakland. He was like, well, forget what them folks told you. Like, you know, we connected. You know what I'm saying? Like, whatever happened to y'all over there, it can't break all this.
Right.
And he also was like, it was funny that all the children was playing outside on the front. Mm-hmm. But here, for black people, for sure, if you out in the front, they're like, no, go in the back. But he was like, nah, we want our children out in the front because, like, here, look at my family.
Yeah.
Like, look at all my children that are out here. This is
my wealth.
This is my wealth. Literally. Mm-hmm. I want y'all out front. You drive down the street. Yo, this is my, look at my 22 children. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Like, no, this is it. But here, we backwards, like, nah, get out the front. You know what I'm saying? Don't cook on the front. Don't put your barbecue grill in the front. Take all that shit to the back.
Right.
So, I kind of think that shit was on some slavery shit or some racist shit.
I do, like, because like
when, hiding your kids in the back so they don't get fucked up.
Because you ever been somewhere in the hood, like niggas got their car parked out front. Like, nigga, this is where I'm at. Mm. This is where I live.
True. He also mentioned something about watermelon and shit, right? And he was like,
it gives you all the nutrients. Why are you embarrassed to eat it?
Yeah, he was like,
right.
Because the hunters would go out there to go get the food, the goats, whatever, and they'll eat the water. He was like,
we've been shamed for it.
Yeah, he was like, why would y'all let them shame y'all for this?
People
and this
feel ashamed about our athleticism. Like, it's just ignorant.
But like, who taught you to hate you?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like that quote rings true. Who taught you to hate you? Like,
that's when I let my shout out to one of my homegirls, her birthday today, Tanisha. So we had this thing where it's like, yo, don't eat no watermelon in front of the white folks.
Right.
Or no chicken and shit like that. It was like a running joke, right?
Yeah.
But like, I let that shit go. Like, how the fuck we gonna let somebody else make us feel inferior for eating some shit that's from the earth that fucking loves watermelon.
Give me that shit.
Or some fried chicken that's absolutely delicious.
Like, I could, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, well, how the fuck did they trick me?
Right.
Into hating yourself.
Hating myself, like, no, I can't do that. Run a watermelon, my nigga.
I eat watermelon any day that it's available. Any day that it's available.
This shit, right? So I come to the crib, my parents' crib and shit.
I'm about to say, is a watermelon on your front porch?
I come to the crib and shit. I come to my parents' house, see these two little white kids.
Inside of your parents' home?
Yeah, they like in the little den area. And I go on the front porch, I'm like, hey, who the white kids belong to? You know what I'm saying? Because like, fuck is going on? And when I get out there in the pack, these niggas got chicken, and they also have watermelon. Mm-hmm. I said, you niggas got here eat? Because they was barely from the church. There was somebody, kids from the church. Whatever. I'm like, they can go to like, so what happens at the Johnson house? Oh, they was over there eating chicken and watermelon. I'm like, what are y'all doing? Like, it was a joke. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It was a running joke. But like, and them kids was like vegan and shit. They didn't eat certain shit. They was like gluten-free. I'm like,
okay. I don't like kids made like that. I don't like y'all weak as fuck. Y'all weak as fuck.
But I had to let that shit go, man. You can't. Why would you not eat something that's so good for you?
Right.
And it tastes amazing.
Yeah. There's one of our listeners who hates watermelon. I hope she hears this and tell her because she's crazy. And watermelon is great. And I'm going to buy you a watermelon, by the way.
With seeds.
Yes. That's the only way you should eat that bitch, with seeds.
Definitely buying you a watermelon, though.
Yeah, man. Good shit. Good shit. Do you got a Whose Man's Is This week? oh, you know who it is. We talked about this in the group there all week.
Let me get to my Whose Man's Is This, dog.
I got a question, though. When you guys were younger, how many kids did you want when you got older?
So it's funny, and it's definitely a running joke in my family. Before my father died, he used to tell my daughter's mother, he was like, you know, he wanted a bunch of kids. And I was like, I never said that. But I looked in my senior memory book from Cass, and I wrote in there in 12th grade that I wanted 10 children.
Wow.
Maybe you have 5 grandchildren. Then you have
there
18.
You go.
I don't feel like I'm quite done yet having children.
Oh.
I mean, I could be, but like I wouldn't be opposed to, you know, I always say in the right situation, I wouldn't be opposed to more kids.
For the most part, everybody in my family got 2 children. Mm-hmm. My brother went back and got he picked up a third, but like and they're 2 of the same. So like me and my brother, 2 men, my aunt Wanda had Ned and Lauren, 2 women. My Addie had 2 boys, Quinn and Garrett. My uncle had 2 boys, Horace and Sean.
Netta doesn't have any kids, does she? Okay.
Lauren,
cousin Netta, I love her.
Netta's sister Lauren has 2 children, 2 girls. Everybody has 2, and it's 2 of the same.
Very equal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And all of them look like each other. So, yeah, I always figured I would have 2.
Okay.
And all the children in our family looks exactly like their parents. So if that baby don't look like me, it ain't mine.
Oh, okay, my bad. I know what the fuck he was doing, but yeah, like in the
that's
right.
That's usually the case.
In the right situation, like I might have one. I might have one or 2 more.
One more, or 2. But, okay.
I really want another little girl. I really want another daughter.
Oh.
Like my girls. You know, you met that little snarky something on the elevator, like, but that's my dog, like,
yeah.
And she got my whole face.
Yeah, she does.
Like, so I mean, I want another little girl.
So, all right, Whose Man's Is This?
Uh-oh.
You finna online day chat, find a mate chat, open up VOK ass, okay, yeah, profile picture looking tight chat, nice chat, got your bio reading right chat, precise chat, but before you find a day chat, you gotta wait chat, gotta go back to Nate chat, get it straight chat, girl, you look good, want you vax that thing up, you's a handsome young brother, want you vax that thing up, dating real life, you need to vax that thing up, feeling freaky all night, you need to vax that thing up, girl, you look good, want you vax that thing up, you's a handsome young brother, want you vax that thing up, dating real life, you need to vax that thing up. Feeling freaky all night, you need to vax that thing up.
I know you can't stand it, no holding hands, chick. But when we get the shot, we gonna be romancing.
Oh,
girl, you
can
be the queen at the quarantine. We can meet up at the
be
spot.
Be the queen at the quarantine.
Chan, I'm your mate, chan. Download the app, shawty, you ain't gotta wait, chan. I love it when you hold me, eggplant emoji. You could be the young hot thing, I'll be the OG.
Girl, you look good, won't you vax that thing
up?
You's a handsome young brother, won't you vax that thing up? Dating in real life, you need to vax that thing up. Feeling freaky all night, you need to vax that thing up. Girl, you look good, won't you vax that thing up? Use a decent
it's so hard to listen to, man.
This third verse blew me.
It's me, X. Go, get the shot. If you want to smash some dude.
All right, I had to stop this shit.
Oh, my God.
How do you put magic marker on a Mona Lisa?
My nigga.
Wow. Vax that thing up.
Juvie? Manny Fresh? Me and X, you was on no limit. Nigga, you're not even supposed to be on this.
So, exactly.
So before this dropped, it had a promo video. And I'm like, oh, shit, like... And it was like the 25th, it was like an anniversary of Back That Thing Up. I was like, are they going to like recook it? Like, is this going to be hot? But no, it's fucking terrible. It's fucking terrible.
fax that thing up.
Why did y'all do this though? Who was it for? I
thought it was for like an online BLK, like that online dating app. It is a thing. It's like a black people meet type shit.
Yo,
I visited there once.
Wow, Mia?
How did online dating go for you?
I never did it.
Oh,
I created a profile. And when I was reading through profiles of guys, I just didn't like what I was reading. I felt like the guys were being such assholes. Like, if you're 250 pounds, don't even come my way. If you have badass kids, like, they were just saying stuff.
Why can't men be selective?
He was telling me what he wanted.
They definitely can be, but it just rubbed me the wrong way. So I was like,
I'm sure you got things that you're selective about, Kathy.
Yeah, but I don't say it like that.
You just don't say it out loud.
Just don't say it like that. And I felt like some of these men, they weren't even fine enough to be talking this much shit. It's like, dude, okay.
Welcome to being a man.
Yeah. You should be happy anybody swipe right on you.
No, I'm saying because we be seeing what some people be asking and be like, woman, you is not fine enough to be asking for this.
Right? Yeah. Right. So, yeah. Yeah. That was my experience. I never dated anybody from online site.
I'm disappointed.
You never dated anybody from Instagram or Facebook?
Yes.
It's online dating.
Is it?
Yeah.
I think it's social media.
It's online, right?
Yeah.
But it was a date, right?
But it's not like an online dating app.
Twitter is definitely an online dating app.
Is it? I don't tweet.
Instagram and Twitter.
Not a tweeter because I'm not good with like short shit. Like I need to express.
Okay.
I can't fit the 140 character mold.
It's 280 now. It's 280 now.
280 now? Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah.
My
God. Or is it 240?
There's like straight up porn on Twitter. I know
100%.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, whoa. Wait, this is on Twitter? You could just see this?
You can't say nigga, but you can post a dick suck.
You can't.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Anywho, music pick of the week.
I just sent you my music pick of the week. I didn't know that he was associated with the homies, TSG.
Yeah.
Shout out to Rick and Weeze, Talk Right. But I like this song, man. It's from a MC by the name of Mike Phelps. The name of the song is Salty, part of the Secret Garden Collective.
Yo, Mike Phelps can rap.
He can. He can.
So that one joint I let you listen to, he was the first one that was rapping on there.
I remember. Yeah. So,
where is he from? Here?
Yeah, he's from here.
Don't touch a lace front. Hit it from the front. I beat that pussy like a bass drum. Hoes all in my face. I hit the VIP and face one. Yeah. Jungle trying something. Smoke perp like it's nothing. Got a big fat blunt. Big like Boogie Cousins. I'm an African American. But my bitch always rushing me and shrimp. Awesome China with the Spanish rice coming. Oh no. I just see my ex walk in the club. I gotta go. If I don't leave, my new bitch about to put on a show. Z put the seeds in the soil when it grow. I trim it down to size and he move it with the low.
Yo, I don't know if y'all saw the video yet. Video was shot by and directed by Diego, who's also down with TSG.
Diego shoots some good ass videos, man.
So all the videos is gonna be directed by Diego. He's probably the coldest in the city. I don't even want to put the city on him because he did major shit, shit for Fab. He does major shit, so I don't want to put.
But Diego's videos are good. They're just fucking good. They're cinematic.
Yeah, and this video was fucking cold.
Yeah.
It was very creative. It wasn't just a nigga standing in front of a car or it was very creative. I like how they go find Salty by Mike Phelps, MIC Phelps, PHELPS. on YouTube and watch that video.
Yeah, yeah. So
I like that,
Mike. It's time for the benediction. So Kathy, I'm not sure how familiar you are with the show, but at the end, we always like to give our guests the opportunity to shout out all their social media platforms. Where can people find them? And shout out to you for the Witty Hutton t-shirt you are rocking. We got some good affiliates and friends of the show who are stout Martin fans. So, you know, we're going to do this Jeopardy for the Culture one more time.
Man.
And you got to come out and...
we're going to film that, though.
Yeah. Because I am 313 wins and zero losses. But Kathy, go ahead and give everybody where they can find you.
At the THEE Detroit _ red. That's on Instagram. That's the only platform I'm on right now.
Okay. And when is your live events normally? Because I had the opportunity to sit in on a live broadcast a few weeks ago.
Yep.
I would love to come on and make some people mad.
We'll make that happen ASAP. Right now I'm thinking like Monday or Wednesday. But okay. Right now I'm just kind of doing it when I feel like it.
But if people follow you, they'll be in the know when it's going to happen.
Yep.
So just follow her.
Just follow me.
She's a friend of the
show.
You'll
have fun.
Yeah, she's a friend of the show.
You'll enjoy it there, I promise.
All right, bet. So it's your man Dame, 3_313. You can follow me on the Twitter, on IG. If you at me, talk to me, I will talk back. When you see the blue and the black, you know where you at. It's Shop Talk Podcast, bitch.
Shout out to the Detroit Red. I appreciate you for stopping through.
Thank you.
Pleasure chatting up with you.
Yeah.
Shout out you guys for tuning in for 269 weeks in a row.
Woo.
It's always appreciated. I don't think y'all really understand. We say it every episode, but it really is.
It's sincere. Not to cut you off, but like, just be on the lookout for the next few weeks of the hookah event.
Yeah.
And then we got another live event coming up after that. So like, you know, the world is starting to open up a little bit. So we're gonna get back out here.
Yep. Shop Talk. We got two live events coming. This week in culture, we're probably gonna do a screening for Candyman.
Can I get some tickets this time? Because I feel y'all leave me out.
We talk about it on the show for listeners. That's what we put it out for. So
nigga,
if you don't hear,
I'm one of the part owners of the studio. I just want to come.
You know what I'm saying? We put it out to the listeners first. So if you don't listen to the show, you wouldn't know
you wouldn't know
that the tickets was there. You know what I'm saying? But listen, when you see the blue and the black, you know where you at. Shop Talk Podcast Studio. Book some time. I'm not saying we the Rockefeller Podcast, but we are Jay and Dane.
Hell yeah.
Peace. Yeah.